Hey, gracious Heavenly Father, we come to the privilege to be here in this house of worship, this place, secular and worldly, no doubt the building itself, but dedicated to you and for your glory, Lord. And we're asking you now to help us that your glory may be manifested unto us through the word, Lord, that we may have that from you, which is vital to the end time message, as the prophet brought it forth. These things we ought to know. And we believe you'll help us to know them. May we not be presumptuous, and yet, Lord, we have to go beyond ourselves, even as the prophet did, and because you took charge of him, Lord, we don't expect that of us, but we expect the help that you said your disciples would have, be led into all truth and be taught all things by the Holy Spirit, which we believe is our portion this morning. So we give ourselves to you, Lord, to that purpose, and may that purpose be fulfilled. Thereby your people thoroughly edified, and not only edified, as we know the term, but rather transfigured from glory unto glory, even to the very image and glory of our Lord, which is in your word. These things we ask, Lord, not because we want to be puffed up or be different, or to have something that somebody else doesn't have, but honestly and sincerely, we believe that this is for this hour. So we do not hesitate to ask it, and then now we believe it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated. I don't know how the seems like it's very heavy echo. I don't need to talk too loudly, but I have a habit of sort of raising my voice maybe in the wrong places, so if you want to try to control this, Tom, that'd be just great. Now, I certainly appreciate being with you people. The way I felt back home before I got here, and part of the time since I have been here, I was sure I made a tragic mistake, because last year I just prayed the Lord, give me enough power, enough strength to get through these meetings, and by your grace I'll never have another one, and I guess I didn't get enough grace. I got sort of carried away with my own desire to be amongst the people of the Lord again, and so I said, well, okay, if you get a place down there in Houston, so at least we'll have that much different, you know, sort of tickle our palate. Not our spiritual palate, now let's be honest, but our sort of physical palate, you know, for these things here. So Jack got this building, which we appreciate very, very much. Appreciate all you people coming. We're certainly not here to make some kind of show in your flesh. If we had been, we'd have sent out thousands of tracts and paid people money to come visit with us and be with us. Which is not the point. The point is, it's just a little fellowship amongst us who sort of believe together. The ministers have been very, very friendly with me, and that's not too many. I simply cannot go beyond the fact what Brother Branham told me, and you don't have to believe it, and I'm not trying to stand on it and make myself impressive, because that's my business and your business. He told me, he said, we're just alike. He said, I've got a little gift of healing and nobody wants it. You got a little gift of teaching and nobody wants it. And I'm going to tell you something, people did want his gift. But he was just nice to me. So how many of you think people want my gift if I do have one? Pretty big crowd here this morning for that. I appreciate it. You appreciate it very, very much. Now, a question was handed to me here, and it would have been all right to have a question and answer session, because many people ask questions sort of privately as we go about. And it would be just as well, I guess, to have answered the question on a piece of paper, from a piece of paper, so that anyone having a like question would perhaps have had a comment on it. And I said, would you please comment on the teaching of the female Holy Spirit? Well, I don't mind doing that. For number one, the question, though asked, is a very proper question, a very good question. It isn't asked right, because from my understanding, there isn't anybody actually preaching a female Holy Spirit per se. But the understanding, I understand, and this is absolutely second hand, so just to comment on it, is that back in the book of Genesis, when God separated the spirit of Eve from Adam, which is a female spirit, it is linked to that as though the seed within us is female, or whatever that is within us from God, which would be that little germ of life, which would be Holy Spirit, would be female. And then as in human organisms and all nature, the male portion falls upon the female, then bringing forth a full mature person. Well, I cannot agree with that for this reason, that Well, Brother Branham said when a baby is formed in the womb, it is just a matter of a bunch of kicking muscles and nerves, jerking muscles and nerves. But there's a spirit standing by to receive it as it comes forth from the womb. And he said that spirit is not of God, but it is allowed to God. And so that must have been what happened to Adam and Eve. Because it was at the time of the separation was in the flesh. He never separated Adam and Eve in that which was from God. What you know, now you can't call it a theophany, but it is like unto a theophany. It would literally be a spirit body is what they had. And that spirit body was completely commensurate what had come from God and was in them, because remember, they were children of God. Now then God put them in a body. And so putting them in a body would have to be at that time they received spirit then. Now what I'm trying to show you is there's a difference between the soul and the spirit. And the gene of God is in the soul, that is not in the spirit. See? So therefore, when you talk about any reference to the Holy Spirit being female, you are saying God's literally kind of like a hermaphrodite. You see what I'm trying to tell you? Dog is all dog, pig is all pig, goat is all goat, man is all... No, he ain't. In the beginning, man is all man, and God is all God. So if that gene is directly from God, and there's a minute portion, maybe minuscule to the point of 100 trillion times trillion times trillion times trillion times trillion, if I go on for at least 1 trillion years, it's God. Male. So you see, to me, there's a confusion between what is understood by whoever teaches this, and I hear there's several teaching it and receiving it. To me now, you don't have to be to you, but to me, and I don't care anybody else preaches, but the question is extant. The persons are wrong in my understanding, because God is essentially masculine. And I'm not trying to make the men somebody. You know that. If you women have ever met honest men, you'll know that they feel... Well, their masculine and macho ways are just because they're trying to impress you. And try to take a place that they're supposed to take. But they sort of overdo it. But men are really very critical of themselves. And they're not inferior critters, that they just have these inferiority complexes. Because, you know, they know they're supposed to lead the family. They know they're supposed to be an example to their wives, their children. They know all these things. They know the misery feels, so they bluster, they get mad and poof off, you know. I'm sorry, man, I got to let my hair down and betray you. You know, like, just shut up, you know. But man is essentially masculine. God is essentially masculine. So whatever comes out of God, from God, forth from God, will be masculine. But you see, in that soul, that little gene from God, there is a nature of God in there that wants to prevail upon your spirit to be godlike. Now, what spirit is the spirit in this world from the Garden of Eden that went haywire and has gone rampant, and Brother Branham said is on a rampage? Female. Now, I cannot believe for one split second, or will I believe, that anything taught that relates the Holy Spirit to female under any consideration whatsoever, unless you want to type it, and I would not even want to type it or illustrate from nature, I believe it's not right. In my books, it would be rank heresy. You do what you want with it. I'm a very outspoken person, but I mean what I say, and I'll stand, but I may die for it one day. You may die for it too. If I'm to die, may I die for truth and with truth. One day the Antichrist, against truth and for the lie, will be destroyed. I don't want to be with him. My Jesus was crucified because he opened his mouth. Not where his feet went, not what his hands did, what was in his mouth. You got to stand that way. So I hope I answered your question. I don't want anybody's feelings hurt. But if you're hurt, that's your tough luck. I am not suave. I am not either petite or elite, nor do I wish to use a club on anybody as a hypocrite. I merely tell you what I believe. Now, we're going to talk about something this morning, the becoming God and the crucified Christ, crucified Word. To begin with, Brother Branham consistently used what we thought was poor English. He talked about God become, God become, God becoming. A few years ago, I began reading a few excerpts from what you might call the Jewish teachers of past years and present years. And then I read very little. But I found in there they had an understanding of the becoming God. The God who became. The God who was becoming and the God who was yet to become. And I'll read just a teeny bit of scripture so that you may know what I'm coming from. And it's in the third chapter of the book of Revelation, in the 14th verse, and unto the angel, to the messenger of the church which is in Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, which is the God of truth of the Old Testament of Isaiah. Thus saith the God of truth. So you see, here we are dealing with the explicit understanding of truth at the end time. Truth. Understand what I'm saying? So therefore now there is a war between truth and lie. Thus saith the God of truth in contradistinction to the God of the lie. The Amen. Which is the Omega of the Alpha, where God said, so let it be and it is. Which brings us to Abraham, who in his hour of victory, of complete and perfect faith, defined his faith relative to God as God who raises the dead and calleth those things which are not as though they were. So substantially, when Brother Branham said, you are the virtuous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, never having sinned but fallen in a trap. When he said, you are no longer saint but or church, but you are bride. He stood with Paul, who came to the place where he said, you who believed were sanctified, baptized, so on you now are glorified. He put everything in the present tense, even the white throne, because that's what it is. You aren't going anywhere from this point. You have arrived. Too many people think you're sitting on a fence waiting for a nudge. I am not sitting on any fence. I have turned a corner. I'm flat on the ground, flat on my face, and I'm going to get steamrolled or picked up one way or the other. And I'm not boasting. It's just the truth, because I can't help myself. Where am I going to go? Realization, brother, sister, of your symptoms and your position is very vital. Because Brother Branham always said, always looking back, always looking forward, never knowing what's going on, is the destruction of the every hour in this hour. And I find too many people in this message who quote the prophet backward and forward are still back 25 years ago, and some looking God knows how many years ahead, but they have no understanding what's going on at this particular point. Thus saith the God of truth, the finalization of all information and word handed down for 6,000 years to this generation until further sanctification comes in the millennium and then a further revelation for eternity and the new Jerusalem, the new heavens, and the new earth. Thus saith this winder-upper. And notice the beginning of the creation of God. And that is the phraseology we are using of the God, the becoming God. For he says here, this one is the beginning of the creation of God. In other words, the one that began what we are into at this very point is finishing it off. The God who became. He started something within himself progressively until what was it within himself in this predicated period is ended. You follow what I'm saying? Because, hey, this is Omega, not Alpha. So the one from the very beginning, the author and the finisher of our faith, see, the cornerstone of the first church age and the Gentile church, the bride, now in a capstone position, because cornerstone and capstone are identical. And if what started the church under Paul as a cornerstone must end identical to another Paul as a finisher. So the same pillar of fire that brought the word must be here revealing the word, and you do what you want about it. If you say capstone is not here, and you think I'm lying and making up something, though I'm trying to tell you the physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ is here, this is the second coming, you are not even in this message. And you are so far down the road, I don't think anybody has time for you, not even God. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings again. I'm just telling you, listen, it's time to wake up and smell the coffee. Amen. Yep. Amen. See? Too many people think they're going forward, they're going backward. Brother Branham said when the rabbit gets out of the pen, it looks for the same hole it came out to get back in, which is Pentecost.
Amen.
Perry quoted the other night about those folk that are sensual. That doesn't mean they're lustful exactly, and they're sensual concerning sex things. It means they are all for feelings. And Brother Branham said, there is no evidence of the Holy Ghost that has to do with any manifestation or any feeling. I don't care two bits what you feel, and it doesn't matter to God what I feel. And everybody even knows that is the basis of divine healing. You don't care how you feel, you disregard it. And pretty soon the good feeling will come back. So the God, he says here, this God of the Amen, this one that's the Omega of the Alpha, this one that's at the beginning of the creation of God, is now the ending of the same creation of God. Now, the phrase which I have read, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, except for a vindicated divine revelation given to us by God's prophet, William Marion Branham, the Elijah for this hour, we too would be all greatly in error and gross misinterpretation of this statement. The Jehovah Witnesses are one group I can bring to your attention. There are many others also who attribute this verse to the description of Jesus Christ as God's agent of creation. For they say that God created Jesus, and Jesus created all else. Now that sounds exceedingly good. And if I were just an ordinary person in the sense I'd never heard Brother Branham, and I read this verse, I would have to stand with the Jehovah Witnesses. And yet in my mind, in my heart, I know that isn't right. And that's not because I was raised a Trinitarian. It just doesn't ring a bell. Now, let's go over here to the book of Hebrews, and let's find out if these people that are called Jehovah's Witnesses, and who knows what else there are. Hebrews, the first chapter, the third verse. And it says this about the Son, who being the outraying, or the coming out of forth of His glory, and the expression of His person. Now, that doesn't sound like a creation. Because actually, the pre-incarnate Jesus was not created. According to this scripture here, He was actually born. He issued forth and out of from God, even as it says in the scripture here in Hebrews, and He Himself said, I came out of God. He literally came forth out of Him. So what the Bible is telling us here is that He is the beginning of the lineage of God. That's exactly what the scripture means, when this day have I begotten thee. In this day I have started my lineage. Now you show me any child that was created. The child is not created. He already has his substance in the two human beings, which can bring him forth, which will bring forth a body commensurate to the life that was in his father. So therefore, we're going to look at the scripture in the book of Hebrews, the second chapter, 9-11. And it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower in the angels for the suffering of death. Now what is he telling you? Made a little lower means he was positioned. He took upon himself a certain form and a certain position, which would guarantee that he would be able to die. Crowned with glory, see, and honor. That he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now the word man is not in the Greek. So cross it out of your Bibles. It should be in italics. And it tells you below what everyone is. Every certain one which is a son. See? For it became him from whom are all things and by whom are all things. See? In bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I'll declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now he's telling you categorically that this is a son. This is a son of God, and issued forth out of God. So you can't call it creation. It's birth. You understand what I'm saying? You ever seen a female dog give birth to pups? Well, many have seen even babies come forth from the womb. What's the big deal? Anybody understands that? Like begets like. Dogs get dog, pig get pig, horse get horse, and God get gods. Now the Son is never the Father. The Son is of the Father. You got two people standing here. One Father, one Son. We're not oneness, so don't get that idea. I've separated them. Brother Branham categorically said on two places I know of. He said, we are neither Trinity, we are neither oneness. And yet he was a oneness of the Godhead, but he wasn't a oneness denomination, which is the Jesus only. Because he said categorically, Jesus was not his own Father. And the Son is not the husband of the mother. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, period.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, don't let it boggle your minds. Here's a microphone. Here's a microphone. This microphone is not that microphone. See? Okay. Now, he is the beginning of the lineage of God. God's going to have a family. How do you have a family? Well, you go to the catalog, Sears Roebuck, and you order them. So you bring out some breadcrumbs and hope the stork will come back. I'm trying to show you why is it that people suddenly get stupid when it comes to the Word of God. Did God write a book that is so mysterious that we are so inept, yet written to us? I can't believe that. I can't believe it. I do not believe preachers are a bunch of stupid idiots, so goofy and so crazy, because I never saw Jesus go down to Gadara and take the insane man and says, I will now consecrate you as an apostle. He took the man of Gadara out of his chains, delivered him devils, and set him free and said, now you can follow me. If you want. What I'm trying to show you is this. This, what we are learning from Brother Branham, is not so mystical and so ridiculous it cannot be understood. It's just more or less, we don't want to understand it. We don't want to lay down our thinking. We want to interpose thoughts. Under my ministry, I absolutely love people that are raw heathen or Roman Catholics. Because they know they don't know nothing about nothing. They have no trouble at all following the Word of God as Brother Branham taught it. Turn them loose at Brother Branham's message. They have no problems. It's the indoctrinated legalist that has all these problems. And as I said the other night, let's get this down and let's get it flat. I did not write the Bible. I have nothing to do with the Bible. But I'm going to stand back and preach it. The stone made without hands made the clay freed as chaff. His fan is in his hand to burn the chaff. And the righteous only can stand the judgment. The wicked are like chaff blown away. They are the ones that come and say, Lord, 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 have we not, have we not, have we not, have we not? He said, no. He said, I'm not denying that, but you are not. Now this morning, we are either are not or we are. Don't want to be tough for anybody's feelings, but that's the way it is. All right, listen. He is the first. Jesus Christ is the first and great and only one of a kind Son of God. That's right. Now let's get the picture straight. This day thou, I have begotten thee, thou art my Son. And God is saying he is the beginning of his own lineage, the family of Almighty God. God begetting children. So he is the first and great and only one of a kind Son of God and holds that position unequivocally and forever. And all sons subsequently were in him, even as God in him created all things. If he is the first of the lineage, where were we? In him. You say, well, that puts us back in God. That is exactly true, but hold your horses. Learn to separate. Blessed be the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. And he said, who are in him before the found, chosen in him before the foundation of the world? All put into him. God put all the eggs in Eve's ovaries. Huh? She's the mother of all living. But the rotten, tragic part is that God did not put all sperm that could match with Eve in Adam. So he was not the father of all. You're seeing your picture. Now, all right. In him, that's in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now then, some Trinitarians hold that this reference, the beginning of the creation of God, actually means that he's the author and beginner. But that does not stand with perfect understanding of Scripture over here in Colossians, the first chapter, and in verse 16, and it says, for by him, that's speaking of Jesus, the firstborn of every creature. Now remember, God is the only begetter of all, and Jesus is that firstborn one. Who the Scripture distinctly says, Jesus Christ, having said it before Paul, he laid aside his heavenly garments, he left aside the facts of his own image and equality with God, came down and took upon himself the form of man. I don't pretend to understand it all, but he said it, I believe it. I'm tired of trying to make my brain like God's brain. I'd sooner have my mouth like God's mouth. I tell you, because if his word gets in my mouth, things are going to start to move. You check the prophets. They never made anything move. It was God's word that made things move. But the word was in the mouth. Now, and it tells you right here, all things were made by him, which are created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. See? Now, not talking about God. And yet God is definitely in here and related. Because God, by him, did all this. And he is before all of this. That's why Brother Branham said, I like a little light coming out. He said, a little light forming. There wasn't anything to form from but God himself. What does a woman do when she's going to have a baby? Oh, I think I'll get some form of procedure over here. So now they're trying to make babies in test tubes. But eventually, after the matching takes place, they got to put it in the uterus, got to put it in the womb to bring it forth. See, the picture is just normal, natural understanding of humanity, the process of nature. You can see here what came forth out of God, and in him was placed this. Whatever was placed in there doesn't matter. Not your business and my business. Brother Branham followed the line of reasoning and the line of thought that all other theologians follow, and that is God poured into Christ, poured himself into Christ, and Christ poured himself into us. But I believe if I were to question Brother Branham and ask him, give me the certain limitations therein, there would be a limitation. There has to be, because one day the kingdom is going to be handed back to God that's temporarily in the hands of Jesus Christ. And the baptism is temporary. You understand what I'm saying? You can't just take one statement and run it and think it's going to take in every single solitary thing under heaven and not end up a Jesus only or Trinitarian or something. Now, he was before all. He's that beginning. Now, if you look at the context here of what I've read, it says, giving thanks unto God the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from power of darkness, and translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. Now the Son then evidently must have been a ruler from the beginning, or he could never rule. Look at, I'm not left-handed. But if I try to be left-handed, I end up a pervert. Mercy me, I can't even read my writing from my right hand anymore. And by the time I get my bifocals all messed up, you look so beautiful, you know, when I look at you, I'm gone. There must have been something in him to begin with. Amen. Now listen, this God himself is the great king, then his son has to be a prince. Amen. And there's a time when the prince should take over rulership. Amen. And if he's any kind of a king, he'll want his son to do it. Yep. See? All right, now look at here. Here's God. The kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through the Son's blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And he tells you, listen, this is the one that you give thanks to God through, because look what he did, what God did for you, and what the Son now brings upon you, and you bring back to God. Blessed be the God and Father who thought of this great thing.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, he's the sun, and some come forth. They come forth from a stream of life, and that life is invisible, and it has to have a carrier. You're a carrier. I could read on, I don't have to. Now, I know of no one who has spoken as though this phrase has to do with the Trinity, one God. A Trinity, one God. You know, Trinity makes three gods. We're talking about a Trinity, one God, which resolved of themselves to now create, and this creation was an office of creator given to one of the three. So, he created by the effective power of the other two combined with the third. So what I'm trying to tell you here, I never heard a Trinitarian say that, but I'm sure they must have said it, that the three gods, one, got their heads together, being one thought of one thought, one mind, one purpose, one spirit, one essence, one this, one that, one the other thing. And the one somehow said to the other one, actually he said to himself, you people are crazy. Insane. So anyway, the three got together, and they said, well, hey, that's a great idea. We're going to have a creation. So they said, all right, now we're going to draw straws to see which one is going to do this great thing, and we'll stand behind him. I never heard that expressed by anybody, and I hope I never do. So it can't mean that. See what I'm trying to tell you? It cannot mean that, the meanings that people try to give today. However, in spite of what all may be said, the truth is, the beginning of the creation of God is that God began to form himself into human flesh. And that's exactly what a vindicated prophet, William Branham, said that meant. I don't care what anybody else says. He began to form himself into human flesh. So I wonder why he'd do that. Well, Father, I have a little question. It seems silly that you should do that. See what I'm saying? There's no reverence. There's no respect. There's no acceptance of a concept through vindication. Then listen, I've hammered vindication home to one night just recently on the Jezebel religion, even set my heart aflame to believe in vindication. We're vindicated. Amen. So you say, oh, you're not. What do you got? What have you got? Listening to me doesn't do anything. Hearing Billy Branham didn't mean anything. What was vindicated? Amen. The beginning of the creation of God. Now, let's just take a look at this beginning. That, in other words, the becoming God. God is becoming. Not that he's progressing and evolving. No, that's not it. Okay. Philippians. That's what I said, didn't I? Because that's what got written down here, and that's what I'm going to read. 5:8. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, that spirit, thought it not robbery, a prize to be grasped and retained, to be equal with God. Now, how equal is equal? From the moment of his coming forth, God didn't do one thing without him, but in him and with him. If that's not equal, you tell me what equal is. Amen. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Huh? How many of you men got your wives' names on your checkbook? Let me see your hand. Come on, don't be a bunch of cowardly duds. Bunch of pikers. Good. She's equal with you, bud. Financially. She won't jip. She's a good wife. I can't get my wife to spend money. She won't spend money. She socks hers in a sock. She'd catch up in a hurry, but she only gets half the pension I get. Does she get half? Yeah, she gets half. She puts it in a sock. If she wants it, come and she spend it. Now, if she wants the rest of the money, she can have it. That's equal. You know why? Because there's something else that pictures God. God spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Now we're equal. What a situation we're looking at. Alright, now. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He didn't have to. Listen, one resurrected man
can silently or any way wants detonate every hydrogen, every nuclear warhead, and drive everybody crazy. They're already crazy. But really drive every living person crazy, turn one resurrected man loose. He's more than equal. Now what about this one? He humbled himself. He said, I won't do it. I won't do it. I won't do it. I can, but I won't. I can, but I won't. And Satan came and said, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do this. He said, I can, but I won't. Because the Bible says this. You can do this. He said, I can, but I won't. Because the Bible says that. He said, you can fall down and worship. He said, no, I can't.
Amen.
No, I won't.
Right. Amen.
And he couldn't do it because he wouldn't.
Right. Amen.
He had his choice. If he didn't have a choice, tell me what's the use. I don't go to a rock and say, now rock, fly, little rock, come on, dance, dance, little rock, sing, sing. That's stupid. Stupid. You think the devil came and said, now, so and so and so and so, if it couldn't be done, sure it could be done. He couldn't have done it, he didn't. So we're looking at this picture. He laid it all aside, became humble. What was his humility? The word says, the word says, the word says, the word says. That's humility. Giving precedent to the Rhema.
Yeah.
To the Rhema Logos God. He just gave it over. Look at 2 Corinthians 5th chapter. We don't have to read all these things, but it's kind of fun. It gives me something to talk about. You know, scripture is beautiful. 1 Corinthians 5th chapter 18-19. And you know these verses. And all things, but all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now listen how it's done. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, so we can do the same thing to this end. This is how it's done. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And Christ is in us, reconciling the world unto Christ. Now see what God did? God came down and literally inhabited the physical body that was brought forth in the womb of Mary by the chemicals that are on this earth, and that body was commensurate to that life that was there for the purpose for which it was given. And you and I have the same privilege. We have a body commensurate from the life that was given to us down from Adam. Of course, there's the interjection of the serpent seed and the human flesh being afraid of all that. But our bodies are thoroughly commensurate for the time and the purpose of this hour.
Amen. Right.
Now, you may not think it is true when you see all this rottenness going on, but I'm telling you the truth anyway because it's outlined here in the Bible. All right. In John 14, am I losing you? Huh? You okay? You can lose people pretty quick on some of these things because, see, their minds don't want to function with the Word. And we got to get you to understand, you got to throw your own thinking away. Now listen to Lee Bale, forget that nonsense. John 14, now verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Now what is he telling you right there? He's telling you the one of the essentiality of the substance of Godhead. What Christ was basically and intrinsically came literally from the Father and essentially. There wasn't any difference as to that substance. But according to position and time, there was a difference. One was a son. And his brother Branham said, how ridiculous. And he said the same thing Adam Clark said, the old Methodist theologian. How ridiculous to say God the Son. Eternal Son.
Yeah.
Where do you get it, Brother Branham said, sons have beginnings. They're not eternal.
Amen.
You men and women that have children here, do you look at your children as old as you? You say, no, Brother Bill. Now look at, they're as old as the life that's within me, because that goes plumb back to Adam, goes plumb back to God, I believe, with all my heart, but their bodies started at a different time.
Amen. Right.
That answer your question, if you're thinking. Are you thinking?
Sure.
Well, good. You just keep thinking, because that's what we want to know. All right, listen. Don't you believe I am the Father, Father me? The words that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. You understand I'm saying? What comes out of dogs? What comes out of cats? Dogs and cats. What comes out of God?
Hallelujah.
Whatever was in God.
Amen.
The life that's in God.
That's right.
So it makes you a son of God. Begotten of God. Formed of God. Taught by God. Everything by God. Because you're such a God race. People get very uncomfortable with that. Because they don't understand the Genesis. They don't understand the seed and the soul. They don't understand the purpose of bodies. They don't understand the progressions. They don't understand the becoming God.
Amen.
Right. Radius said it. God was a Savior necessary to predestinate a sinner, a man who requires salvation in order to give God a reason and purpose of being. In other words, you see here a great plan. You see God the great plan and the great planner. And you see all the plans set forth in the, from the great planner in the Son. Now God loves His children. Because God is love. Hey, there's one person here who wouldn't do what God, as a father, what God would do. So I wouldn't offer my son. You would if you had that in you. You already did offer your son. You should have kept him in your loins, and he wouldn't have the trouble he's got today. Ha-ha. You're not so smart after all, are you? Nobody is. We can trip ourselves. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. By Him God created all things, and by Him God vindicated Himself. I am the God of Moses, Abraham, Elijah. I stand here in human flesh. I have become human before your eyes. Do with me what you want, and I know what you'll do. And they did it. How in the world could Jesus give to the will of hold to the will of Almighty God in death and became what He became, except He had that essentiality in Him, which is the mind of God? How can you believe what you believe outside of having the mind of God in you? That gene, see? That's what I said a while ago concerning this female spirit thing. Don't get messed up in times like these, brother, sister. Okay, perfectly see the picture here in Luke. And here we see chapter 1. 13 to 17. Behold, the angel unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even before his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. Now listen, he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. Now, he's going to go before that one in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the father's children, even the disobedient. That's what Terry spoke of the other night. Those that didn't know and were not defiant. And I know that's the word Terry was searching for, defiant. If you're not a defiant person like Cain, your sins will be covered. Don't worry, you got an atonement for ignorance the whole day. But if you're defiant, you ain't got prayer. So don't bother praying. Just admit it. It takes guts to admit things, but it sure is good to have that kind of guts. It's called spiritual fortitude. To make ready people prepared for the Lord. Now, these people already were predestinated to it, but they need something to help them. And what was it that was going to help them? They had an ignorance. They weren't disobedient to a command. They didn't know what the command was. They didn't understand. And now he's going to give them light. Now, watch. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. River Jordan. Thine, my Father, one. He that has seen me has seen the Father. The works that I do, merely my Father does them in me. He said, His word is in me. This is in me. That's in me. He said, I'm holy, a composite of Almighty God and those attributes that He wants to reveal at this particular hour. I am that one. Look at me.
Amen. Yeah.
But they wouldn't do it.
That's right.
I didn't want to do that. Hey, listen, you can't do that with that bunch. Over here in John 1. 31 to 34. And I knew him not, but he that should be made manifest to us, so therefore may come baptizing water. Now listen, I did not know him. Who's him? That man standing there. Who is that one? The one that had to reduce himself to a sperm and an egg. In other words, the life in it. The life went to that thing which God created in there. That very life in this. The sperm and the egg being created is talking to the body of the life that's there. So here's a healthy egg and here's a life sperm. Now they got bodies. Now, he said right here, and I didn't know who this Messiah was. I didn't understand that this was that one. That son of David, I did not know that. But that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I'm come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I didn't know him. But he that sent me to baptize with water told me to baptize the water for this very purpose. Because when I was baptizing, there'd be somebody standing in the water I did not know and recognize. And the Spirit of God would descend like a dove upon him and remain upon him. And he it is which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Now hold it! John the Baptist already had the Holy Ghost before he was even born from the womb. Well, did he or did he not? Now notice, this isn't tricky. And he said, listen, the one that you see upon whom the Spirit of God is falling, that one is the same one that baptized the Holy Ghost. And John was already baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now he's saying the one that you're seeing baptized in water and the Spirit of God himself coming upon him, this now becomes the baptizer. And Jesus did send back his own Spirit upon the earth because he came back as the Holy Ghost baptizer. Then he came back as the Word giver. And when he came back as the Word giver, he did not deny, divide himself. He did not divide himself. He stood as one person. Now where's your Pentecostal hogwash going back to Pentecost?
That's right.
These people preaching going back to Pentecost. They don't know what Brother Brown is talking about. At Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was given dividing himself, placing members of both kinds, Gentiles and Jews, in a platform for the church to be built upon. When it came time for the church, God himself individually, solitarily came to one man. I look at the product of Pentecost. I love Peter. I don't say I'm like Peter. I ain't fit for him to walk under, even look at. But he's a impulsive guy, wonderful guy. Not saying I am. I'm just saying he's a wonderful person. He boo-booed. He went off track. And Paul looked him right in the eye. Said, man, you're wrong. Now, if you want to go back there, you go ahead. I want a man like Paul when they said, separating Saul and Barnabas, the work I've called him. They took Barnabas out there, went down the road together, sang hallelujah. They shared all the woes and all the troubles. There came a day they went to Jerusalem, and Peter looked at Barnabas' eyes and said, Barnabas, Timothy, better be circumcised. He said, I think he should be. Paul said, out, out, out.
Amen. Yeah.
If you think I'm a dirty dog, what about Paul? Oh, Paul's nice, but you see, Paul. I'm going to tell you something. Paul's word in my mouth is still Paul's word, is still God's word. And I'm not misinterpreting one solitary thing to you, because if you try to make me a liar, I'll put your nose in it. Paul left Barnabas. Historians tell us he was never heard from again, and Paul got Silas.
That's right. Amen.
Yet I'm not like, because I say word. Many shall come in that day saying I've raised the dead. Out! I'm not rough on people. Good heavens, I've seen the dead raised, sick, healed, everything else. I wish it happened here. I'd be a bloody mirror. And I'd go out of here and say, well, Lee Bell did a great job. He got the Spirit of God down working on the folk. Everybody got healed. Hallelujah. See, you don't judge me as a humble man. I'm stupid, I'm ignorant, and I'm very proud. So God keeps me humble. I ain't got no healing ministry, got hardly any word even, but I do have nobody wants it. So there it is. I saw and bear witness that this is the Son of God, who is at the same time the Son of Man. Son of Man and Son of God are no different except for appellation required for the ministry of the hour. He was the Son of God. And he came through Mary, and the tribe of David was the Son of Man. Made people recognize the Son of Man was the Son of God by the vindicated ministry. My Father in me doeth the works.
Amen.
The life of my Father's in me. Can't you see it? Can't you tell it?
Amen.
Life manifested. Had to have a conduit. Now here you have the becoming God. Became a man. Don't turn the cool up. A lot of my good friends out there freeze. Meantime, I'll stand up here, and I don't mind being hot. Okay, let's go more. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh. Notice the Word became, the Word became, the Word became, 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 became. Through what process? 4,000 years of human history. It took Him to get there. Right? One time he was a pillar of fire, one time he was a wind, one time he was an earthquake, one time he was water, one time he was rock, one time this, one time that. You say, well, my, I don't think God would do that. Well, you better think again. Because I don't think God's going to change your bodies. Because you can't think that far. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You understand I'm sarcastic on a purpose. And if I think you think I'm hitting you, buddy boy, when I point one finger, I got at least three more pointing back very radically because I got a problem too. And if I quit preaching tomorrow and I learned a lesson out in Tucson, I was so sick out there, desperately sick, waiting to die, and I've prayed to God that I would die, and I was hoping there was some way I could help Him let me die. And I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't talk prison. Maybe there's a possibility. It just isn't there. I'm going to tell you something. I began to die spiritually, as I never died in my life. Don't ever talk to me about what I'm preaching. You don't like it, get out of here and start. I'm saving my life, and I thank you for helping me. God bless you. And I love you for it. And any man that you help or helps me, I'm going to love that man. That's my obligation. That's next to God. You are my good Samaritans.
Yeah. Amen.
He's here.
Yes, sir.
And you better believe He's here, just as He was with Paul. Now He's our Joshua.
Yes.
To lead us in and position us.
Amen.
For a thorough, more thorough sanctification. All right. Listen, the Word became flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The same one that was prehistoric back there creating the world. By the Spirit of God within Him. He stood there, became flesh. And God got into Him. God the Father. Manifests Himself perfectly through sonship. Son of God, Son of Man. Before He was Son of Man, He had to be Son of God. And soon as He's Son of Man, He wasn't changed any. He was just positioned in what He was doing. There weren't any sinners up in heaven to deal with, the humans that needed His blood. Had to come down here. Same one. Begotten of the Father. Now, that this appellation in Revelation 3:14 is no mystery, because there are only seven church ages. And this is the seventh or Laodicean church age. Now, there's no mystery. We're down here at the end time. Thus, the beginning of God forming Himself into human flesh is now Omega. It's the end time. Where all His bride's sons will take their places, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. All right, look at it. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Now, listen. Paul said that at a time which was years later, after Christ was risen. Now, the only reason he knew he was risen, because Christ appeared to him and identified Himself.
Amen.
He never took anybody's witness. He didn't care for anybody's witness. Anybody's witness said, get that idiot. Kill that heretic. Down with him. Oh, I'm a servant of God to blast them. Now, we should have done that in Canaan land. We didn't do it. Now, we'll get everybody. We didn't get back there. You think he'd have taken anybody's witness? Everybody said, well, he was standing there consenting to the death of Stephen. He saw the glory and he saw this and he saw the rest. Yeah, that's just conjecture. Unless Brother Branham told it on a tape. I wouldn't believe that for 15 seconds. I got to hear it myself. I don't know if Brother Branham ever said that Paul got convicted. If it did, it sure didn't take. Because God had to smack him down like a corpse. On the road to Damascus, I think it just riled him up. To think, hey, look at the fellow, he's got something in his face I don't have. I'll get 10 more like him, and I'll look that way too. I got to hear Brother Branham tell me what the historians crackpots try to tell me. I don't believe it. I stand corrected. He said so. So praise God, that's the way it was. I'm not avoiding nobody's fool. Okay, listen. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He said, hey, that rest came out of the grave. How did he know? He didn't see him. Didn't see one of them. But I tell you, he had a vision or a catching up where he did see them. Boy, did he get a lesson in history right there, in theology. For since by man came death, by man came also resurrection dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his presence. Well, you can put that 2,000 years ago. I don't care. He was a presence. If he hadn't got down and taken them out of the prison, they would still be down there. My Bible said they put his body in the grave. My Bible tells me his soul went down into hell. His spirit went back to God who gave it. He split three ways. So he went down there, and Brother Branham graphically, dramatically tells us how he came down, wrenched the gates of hell asunder, and let them out. Took them out of the graves.
Amen.
Well, that's the Bible. Well, if he's present today, what is he going to do?
Amen.
You think it's going to be any different? Hogwash. The same God in the same way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Jesus does it all, Brother Branham said. This one in whom God is manifesting now in a Son of Man position, returning to Son of God to raise the dead, because God alone raises the dead.
Right.
Who do you think raised Jesus Christ? Himself? You gotta be sick. God raised him.
Amen.
Because Brother Branham said the words and now he'll raise. God's gonna raise Brother Branham, period. Where do you get this stuff that the part is greater than the whole? You honor Brother Branham by trying to make Joseph bigger than Brother Branham and this and that. What's the matter with people's heads? You know what they are? They're idolaters. Let me tell you something. As soon as Moses led that mixed crowd out of Israel and they got a chance to commit fornication and adultery, they did it and went straight into idolatry. One word off is Satan's kingdom, which is idolatry.
Yep.
The Branhamites are idolaters. George Smith said all they lack now is lighting the candles. I said, give me the concession on the candles. I know some of you get shocked. You can't take it. You live in a wishy-wishy, washy-washy world. You've never been taught anything. You better get taught now. I'm not trying to be your teacher. Get out. Go away. I don't need it. But I'm up here. I'll preach this word of God. He'll help me somehow. I don't believe I'm going to teach error. Nuh-uh. Listen. You can see the becoming God. He became a sacrifice. He became a high priest. Now he's become the one on the throne, waiting to take over the kingdom. God in every part of it. God moving through the Son. See? That's exactly what we see now. Moving through His people. Now it's in the bride. All right, what we have looked at here is the springboard or foundation of the thought of the unchanging God who does not, because He cannot, change intrinsically as far as substance and nature and essentiality is concerned. It says in Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, 14, 15, the same it says in Revelation. He said, God does not change himself, nor does anything he ever do change. And he said, if you want to find the truth, he said, just know this one thing. Look for what's past, and you'll see what's going on and what's going to go on, because God works in a perfect circle. He goes in cycles. But they miss him because he changes something. Not essentially, not his nature, not any of those things, but the shell or the outside, the role of the drama, the cloak that presents him. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Neither is he a God of evolution, as though he could evolve and adapt according to some influence. Who are you on that? He cannot change himself, his ways, his mind, his purpose, nor diminish himself, nor augment himself in any way whatsoever. It is that God is continually, constantly revealing himself according to his purpose. And that revelation of himself depends on what statement of his purpose is in progress, or as Brother Branham said, what scene is now being played in God's great drama, with God changing his mask as the author, director, and actor of his own masterpiece, himself. Now, you know something? God's here today doing everything He wants to do just as He wants to do. And He said, when you see all these things out there happening, that's not for you, honey child. Lift up your head and rejoice, because as rotten as it is, twice as good it is for you. And He said that final showdown, when that Antichrist bunch is judged for the last 6,000 years, which they will be, He said, I'll double to her double what they did to you. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I will do it. That's why it's not an eye for an eye any longer. You say, oh, that was that crude God back there. If he was crude then, he's twice as crude now, because it's not just eye for an eye. It's two eyes, it's four eyes for an eye.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Four lashes for one lash.
Yes, sir.
He said, I'll stand there and let them know who the bride was.
Amen.
Oh, she cried and said, I'm no widow, bless God. I'm the bride of God. He said, I'll show you who is. And we stand back with a sooty, phony love, as though Moses went down there to Egypt and said, well, folks, I got the news from God. We're going to pray for old Pharaoh right into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Convert all these Egyptians. What did Lot do down in Sodom? Converted all the Sodomites? Even just the angels got out of there by the skin of their teeth. Brother, sister, don't you understand where we're going? Now listen. His great drama. God is constantly unfolding himself in this great drama of life. And it is not that there is more than one God, but one God with three principal offices and many other major and minor titles and names and roles wherein he, as the great author, director, actor, changes his masks. He is all in all. It all comes from him and it'll all go back to him according to what he wants. He'll get it. And those who are in the spirit of the composer-conductor and the author-director join as the complementary cast in every generation and bring forth God's masterpiece of music and drama. They're bringing forth God himself to his essentiality, his ability, and all those things coming forth, you know, just marvelous like the Roman candle, until God is completely fulfilled in himself and in his ultimate. Oh, Lord, things are going to pot. Like Dr. Pink in his book, The Sovereignty of God, one poor preacher got so excited, he got so in-depth, he just got so carried away, but people were turning on God. Nobody listening, nobody, oh God, poor God, oh God, poor God, oh God, poor God. Now listen, that's fine really, I understand that. I'm trying to mimic the guy. He was sincere, that's all he knew. And it's right to cry and to know that people are throwing back things in God's face. I'm just trying to get you to understand, we're at the end time, brother, sister. And you've got to separate yourselves and know what's going on. I can feel sorry that it might look like the plan of God is going apart, but I want to tell you something. It isn't going apart. It's coming together. Brother Branham categorically said over in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the first verse in the second chapter, he said the coming together was under the shout, which was the message. The word of the hour, and nothing could come to the carcass of fresh meat except the bride, separated by the word, then separated by the rapture. Certain preacher didn't know that was in there. He got fooled on that one. God in his purpose, God in his roles doing these things. Let's take a look at John 17. And we're going to see where we're at. 13 to 26. And he said, Now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled. Now that's the one talking in the flesh. He's here in the human body. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. Now at the Garden of Gethsemane, God departed from Jesus. Brother Branham said so. We have that on authority. They might have joined themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. And because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world, I pray not that thou shalt take them out of the world, but you'll keep them from the evil one. And the evil, and that's the unbelief and the true word. That they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Hey, look at that one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, how are you going to get sanctified? If a word doesn't do it, nothing's going to do it. See? As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself. They also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for thee. In other words, he's coming under the word. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which also shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou art Father in me, and I in thee. And they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and the world that may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be as one, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me from before the foundation of the world. Now remember, Jesus had prayed and said, give me that glory I had with you from the beginning, and God said, you got it. Remember, so don't you remember these verses? O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. Now it didn't say they knew what he knew. But he put them right in the same category because they had come from one source. And I have declared unto them thy name and will declare that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Now listen, how are you going to get this love of God that everybody's talking about? I have declared unto them thy name, and the name of God is the revealed word. And I will declare that revealed name, which is the revealed word of Almighty God, there in His love. I've told you for years, love's got to come out of the Word, because the conduit of the Holy Ghost, wherein is love, is the Word. So you can have any kind of love you want. Love is corrected. Even before Adam sinned, the Word was corrected. He said, do, don't, you got it. There is no word that is not corrected. Let me tell you, that's the way life should be. Barriers are put up so you don't fall over the cliff. All right. Okay, we go to Revelation, the 21st chapter. Now we're looking at this becoming God. We're seeing history being fulfilled in man, God doing what He's doing, because that's the gist of the whole thing. And 21, 1 to 2, and I saw a new heaven, new earth, where the first heaven, where first earth passed away, and I saw no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God to heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now that's the prayer that Jesus prayed. And He prayed it in flesh for flesh of Him being the only begotten Son, and they in Him, and they and Him saying, these are my brothers. And I'm not ashamed for one reason. We all came from You.
Amen.
Now, look what He's saying. Now, look at these beautiful ones in whom I sing praise with them unto God. It is the new Jerusalem. All right? 9. And there came unto one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of the last seven plagues, and talked to me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now notice, He doesn't mention the Lamb first. He said, I'm going to spot out that wife. Because you see, it's her time to be talked about now.
Yeah.
See, presentation. He carried me away in the spirit to the great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, holy Jerusalem, descending up out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. That's what Jesus prayed for. Now this man sees it. And the word glory means estimation, a value placed, a comparison. Nothing like it.
Amen.
Rome stands out at the end time, this the city of harlots,
yeah.
The Antichrist. John wondered.
Yeah.
A masterpiece, a marvel of Satan's Eden on earth.
Yeah.
Didn't have the glory of God, though.
No.
You know why? Because she didn't have the estimation, didn't have the rhema, with the Holy Ghost lightening it to bring it into a logos.
Yeah.
You didn't hear what I said, did you? Get the tape and listen again. Having the glory of God. I'm being mean to you. But it's very simple. Rhema and logos are the same thing. Only logos is where the manifestation comes from what's in rhema. And when manifestation comes and it doesn't back up rhema, which the Bible is the Bible, this is God in print, then you know something is wrong. That's why we know William Branham was a prophet sent from God, and the rest of the world don't know nothing because they don't believe the Bible in the first place. As the Jews missed Jesus misinterpreting Moses, so the people today miss Jesus misinterpreting what was said about Jesus. All right, did I get far enough? And had a great wall and high and 12 gates and at the gates 12 angels and messengers and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes and so on and so on. Okay, now, with that we go to Revelation 22, and you notice in verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and the servant shall serve. Now, right in the midst of the bride, the whole thing is turned into a body of worship. It's turned into a kingdom. So we like that. Okay, now, I already read in Hebrews, the second chapter, the 11 to 13 verses, where he said, sing praise unto him in the midst of the congregation when I sing praise unto God. And he said, these are my brethren, and I'm not ashamed to call them that. See, he's the only one that lived it. The rest of us all flunked out. There wasn't one. But we took him, knowing in him was our life. It went back to him. Now he's not ashamed because we're all brothers. Oh, he said brothers can be very naughty. Yeah. Well, he said they can be pretty cruddy, he said, with that body they had. But you see, he stood against temptation. We didn't. The only thing you know that we fall for is temptation. The only thing we can't resist, as the guy said, is temptation. That's right. But he said, they're my brothers. Now he said, look at this picture, he said, New Jerusalem. What is that? That is the ultimate of God in human flesh. The gold of God in a setting. God manifesting himself and his children, that is the ultimate. Now you see, brother, sister, If you understand anything, you understand from innocent Adam, we went down, 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 Laodicea.
Yeah.
And at that time, that little seed of life coming, placing them, taking them away, waiting for the future, now it's up, 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 up.
Praise the Lord.
You see what I'm trying to show you? The becoming God.
Amen.
Not an evolving God. Not someone said, well, you know, those ancient Israelites, they had an understanding of God in the Spirit. But you see that old eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Then you see the Jews, if you read anything by the rabbis and the Maimonides and some of these men, you'll find that they could explain that all away. Oh, they do a fantastic job of it. I just sometimes get carried away just reading them. They can explain it. It's beautiful how they do it. I can't blame them for doing it. They don't have the Spirit of God. But that God that demanded still demands. See? He's just fulfilling his role. He's becoming and we are becoming too. Now, this is quite some scenario. And it certainly is true by the vindicated message of the prophet Elijah for this hour, Reverend William Branham. But the topic is becoming the becoming God. We've been talking about the becoming people, him. Which is more general, whereas our thoughts have been specific about the aspect of the flesh. So we took all the flesh, we looked at the becoming God. Okay, so let's get back to John again. We're going to pursue our subject of this God becoming. One God, he has a Son, operative all through the Son, same essentiality, you can't change it, Son of God. So don't try to change it. Don't try to do anything with it, just leave it alone, watch what God does with it. Ha-ha, that's it, watch God. Okay. John 1:1-5 again. In the beginning was the Word is with God, the Word was God, and Brother Branham in one place says that's Jesus, but he corrected under the seals, and he positively declared, if you make the Word Jesus, then you've got three gods. Okay? So what he said back there was not necessarily a slip of the tongue, a misunderstanding, misinterpretation. It was no doubt what was needed for the hour. The same was in the beginning with God. All things made by him, without him was not anything made, was made. Him was life, the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, the darkness comprehended not. And the Word became flesh. From way, way, way back, it starts coming down, 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 flesh, flesh, flesh. Right here. That flesh starts building. Down, 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 he meets it. Now up, 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 up. Why? Because God picks him up, raises him up, sets him above everything in the human structure. Now remember, he's not over God. No, oh, oh, never over God. He's over the kingdom of God and God's sons.
Amen.
Yeah. See? We all come by him, our salvation, everything. He became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he tells you the essentiality of God that was in him and in only him. We beheld it, we handled it, we felt it, we saw it, we smelt it, we ate with it, and it was God manifest in flesh. I'm going to tell you something. Brother Branham tells about those old fellows out there, those old poor old servants of God. He said, like Elijah, bandy-legged old boy leaning upon a staff, throwing beer and everything, smelt like a skunk, no doubt. There's God in human flesh. Oh, not that. Give him at least a steam bath. Shoot. Look at the guy's teeth. What's he been eating? God was in the prophets.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Branham said about him, himself and Jesus Christ, he said, you want to know why he was the Father? Because the Father was in him. He said, he that has seen me seen the Father. He said, you look at me, aren't you?
Right.
I'm here. He said, not William Branham that said, little boy's leukemia, you're healed. Not William Branham, thus saith the Lord, but God himself, him in me.
Amen.
Ooh, sacrilege. Oh, yeah? And you claim the Holy Ghost? Fap, you're nothing but an ignorant, prejudiced idiot. How come you say, I got the Holy Ghost? But Brother Branham couldn't have God in him when the Bible said he can.
Amen.
You talk about smug hypocrisy.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I wouldn't have crucified Christ if I was there. He said, you're the one that would have done it.
Amen.
Oh, hindsight is so good. Hey, listen, I had a chance years ago, like a jackass, I wasn't supposed to have the money anyway. I read an article and the guy told the truth. Put your money in Mexico, 20% interest. Oh Lord, if I'd only scraped up and borrowed every cent anybody could have lent me. Hi-yi-yi, in 4 years, $50,000. Four years, $50,000 is $100,000. Four more years is $200,000. Four more years is 400,000 anyway. By now I'd be a multi-millionaire. Hindsight. Oh, it isn't 20, it is 100 million. That's just the sight. Or you wouldn't have crucified him, you wouldn't? Brother Brandon said you would. All right, listen. What we notice here is indeed the beginning of God set forth in human flesh as delineated upon by John. Yet we might better express it at this point, not as the becoming God, but as the God who is able to express himself, manifest his God-headedness, or perform himself as to all that lies within him. Now, Brother Branham said you can't make the word Jesus or you're going to have three gods. So here we're going to see that God is the Word. Now, the Word is an expressed thought. Now, listen carefully. I'm going to be reading my notes. Now, a Word is an expressed thought. So listen. Thus, the Word is a conduit or an expressor of what is not visible, nor perhaps can ever be visible, of itself and by itself. So it can't be, it's got to have what they call a crutch. All right, what's a crutch? It's called propedeutics in pedagogy. And propedeutics is 30 days, half September, April, June, and November. So God needs propedeutics. He needs a crutch. He's got to have something or he fizzles. Understand? And I'm bringing it right... Pardon me, right down to a kindergarten level.
Sure.
See? All right, now look at it. H2O. You can't see it.
No.
Separate. Get them together electrolytically by electrolysis, and you'll see water begin to form. Now I can see hydrogen and oxygen. Absolutely, that is hydrogen, and never mind the junk that's in it.
Yeah.
Now let's say that was in steam. I couldn't see it. Run the steam through some pipe. Ha! Ah, there it is. Steam.
Yep.
Crutch.
Yep. Amen.
See, it's got to have a conduit.
Yep, sir. Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? Now listen, this is kindergarten, but that's where our mind's got to go. Little children.
Amen.
Hey, I can see God. I saw him in William
Branham. Yep, sir.
Oh, that's sacrilegious. Oh, I don't feel bad because they killed Christ for the same thing. You're a man making yourself God. Equal with God. They understood the Father-Son relationship. Everything the Father had, he split with the Son. The first Son was his glory.
Amen.
Was his life?
Yeah.
Yes, it was his life. The Bible says so.
Amen.
He split it with him. The Jews say, ha! Son of God, then you're equal.
Right.
People say, wonder, can I worship Jesus? Well, God is an object of adoration. I don't care what you call it, pan or anything else. Jesus is worthy of adoration.
Amen.
What do we know? Can't figure those things. I mean, I don't understand why people rebel and rebuke. Rebel and listen. The manifestation or conduit of revelation. The manifestation, which is the conduit of the revelation. In other words, without the conduit, you can't even surmise what's there that you can't see. You know what? I'm a funny person, which you know. I don't mean I'm humorous because I can get goofy instead of funny. How many of you people like me when you go in a dark room for no reason at all sort of panic? I don't do it, but used to do it anyway. Let me see your hands. You kind of get panicky. You don't know what's there. Oh, you're a bunch of liars. Don't kid with me. Don't fool with me. I could take every birthday and tell every single person that does that. Just give me your day you're born, the month and the year, and I'll tell you exactly how you feel. Don't lie to me. Now, you can get over it. It's a panicky feeling because you don't know. See? Isn't that the truth about Revelation?
Sure.
You're kind of panicky because you don't know?
Sure.
William Branham said, I stand here. What do you want to panic now that you've seen the conduit that you have to have? That you can be at rest and understand what you don't see. Hey, the same me has seen the Father. He's in flesh, the conduit. So the conduit is important to revelation. As Brother Branham said, the mask, or that which hides it, reveals it, and that's exactly what Luke said. There is nothing hidden but to the intent that it should be revealed. So God hides himself in simplicity and reveals himself in the same. And everybody's, oh, it can't be because he brought it down to a human being. You're just a miserable Pharisee and a Sadducee.
Yeah.
If you're that kind of person.
I know
Jack Bell isn't because he's my good buddy. He follows right along 100%. And I'm sure his whole crowd does. I got other men sitting here, but I spotted Jack. He's been my buddy for a long, long time. Now listen here, that's what we're talking about now at this particular time. See, the manifestation or the conduit, which is the conduit of the revelation. You follow me? Of what's invisible. Of whatever quality and degree it may be. Of whatever quality or degree. Well, bless God, that carpenter's son. Huh. He's illegitimate. Got no time for him. Didn't he where the boy was born? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Look and see, no prophet comes out of Nazareth. Where were those hair-brained idiots at the time of the massacre of the children 2 years of age under Herod?
Right.
What came out of Bethlehem?
Amen. Right.
I don't understand. So Brother Brandon said, you see, you wouldn't have crucified him. See, you understand what I'm trying to show you. The manifestation or conduit of the revelation of whatever quality and degree it may be is always of lesser moment, position, and importance, and is only the consequences of or the product of whatever is there in its unmanifested state. So therefore, the expression of God is not to be confused with God as to its position, which is decidedly inferior, unless God ratifies it to be different.
Yeah.
Whoa, that would give glory to a Philadelphia lawyer. That's not a tongue twister, kid. I'm telling you. You want me to read it again? I can tell you much more simply. The part is never the whole. And the prince is not the king. And Jesus is not God. He's Son of God.
Yep.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's too simple for you to grasp it and me to grasp it, and it's real truth and integrity because we've been taught wrong so long. Now we got to have a mystery. Yet you go home, I know that the mill's going to say, Joel is our son. Look at that cute little fella. He'd be mean as a pistol if he wants to be. But he's cute. No matter what he does, he's cute. You've got to forgive him. Just let him be. I know Chris and Angela, little girl Sarah, she is so cute. She just melts me to pieces. I would spoil her worse than her father. I hope he spoils her because that's the only chance he's got. He comes in the door. Daddy, if I had anybody look at me like that. And I got my little Martha Barattas. She's getting almost too big to lug now. I look in her eyes, and if she ain't got two or three or four souls, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'd spend on her if I had to. All the little kids are wonderful to me. I love them just to pieces. That's how to be a great-great-grandfather. You're great at spoiling so their parents can take all the trouble. And you're greater than a grandfather because you can do far better. You've got experience. Little kids, marvelous. Absolutely marvelous. So you see, what we're looking at, let me tell you again, the part is not greater than the whole. Now listen, the manifestation or the conduit of revelation, whatever quality and degree, even quantity, it may be, is always lesser in its position. In other words, it's not the real thing, though it is to you the real thing. Because it is definitely a product of the real thing. See? Now you keep that in mind. Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 28. I read the first part of it about the part where, at his presence. So me presence on. But every man his own order. Now watch. Then cometh the end. Now look at, like every prophet, this man stops there and he takes you to the end by passing a lot of stuff that's in between. There's a lot of stuff in between. And it's going on now. But the in-between is going on, and what's at the end is putting everything back under God again, where the New Jerusalem is the Lamb on the throne and the pillar of fire above the throne. Now watch. Then come at the end when he shall have delivered us. He shall have as a perfect future tense. So that's way down the road. But he counts it as though it were done because it's going to be done. Because today's sun is going to set. Now you may be sitting here while it is, because I'm preaching a long time, if I have to. But it's going to set. I don't know if you're going to leave me or not. I'm not going to quit preaching. Because I'll give Alphonse and Jack $100 apiece to sit here. And my wife said, sure, give her $500 if I have to, but I don't think I'm going to have to. In other words, I paid audience. Sun's going to set. This is already coming to pass. What are you going to do about sun setting? Oh, Brother Bill, I can't drive in the dark. I can't. You're going to drive in the dark, so shut up. Sun's going to set. Oh, I got to stop that sun. You ain't going to stop no sun. You can't stop this. From the presence, you are stuck.
Amen.
So, Brother Bill, see, Brother Branham said, I know what he said. Always looking back. That's the folk we're still doing this morning right here. Always looking forward. Look at this, kiddo.
Yep.
Look at this, the presence.
Yep, sir.
And that presence indicates the future perfect tense, it's already done, white throne, judgment, whether you want it or not, it's set in, this is it.
Amen. Yeah.
We're going, it's going to burn.
Yep, sir.
I don't feel good about that, but I rejoice in my God.
Yeah.
You want to take a Sodom condition with you to live up there? That makes you think, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
You'll make up your mind. Make up your mind. Israel had to stone its rebellious kids at one time. Do you think they felt good? When David seduced a woman, killed her husband, let his boy rape, let another one kill him? You watch what sin does, buddy. God has his plan. No one's going to stop it. All right, listen. Then shall he have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, whom, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. Now he's talking about this thing here, at this time of the presence of Christ. This, what Brother Branham identified as Melchizedek coming back in the form of Jesus. You've got the very same thing again. It is Elohim in spirit form. Here, he will sit upon the throne of David 1,000 years. Then there'll be the new heavens and the earth, and the Son will hand the kingdom back to the Father. That is going on now, whether you know it or not, and that's true church order, because that's the shout the Kusma, which puts in subjection.
Amen.
How many people in the Branham message know that? They don't want to know it. Exactly what Terry preached the other day. They don't want to know it. And they're defiant to it. And they say everything they can to put me down, even in hunger. They say, oh, that veil, he's got to be absolutely wrong. So he says, he's wrong? Tell me how he's wrong. Well, he said that Jesus is on the Father's throne. Blasphemy. Well, he said, how can he be wrong? Brother Branham said it. Oh, good night. We haven't got time to talk anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't care. So don't waste your breath. Twice this morning up. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. The prophet said so. That he might reign till he put all of enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed. Under him. Now listen, it's manifest that he that's doing the putting under is not the Son, it is somebody else. Right? So it's the Father putting everything under the feet of Jesus, putting a complete bride in order for the wedding supper. And even though he puts it under his feet, it's turned back to him, and yet at the same time, it is never out from under his feet. You know why? Because he's the head at the top of the pyramid. The Lamb on the throne. And before they call, he answers. I am my Father one, you're all one, you're back in the glory, here is God completely fulfilled, aren't you glad you're part of it? Every tear wiped away, nobody has that remembrance anymore, but always the wounds are there. You'll never forget the blood. Don't ever talk to me about the blood being here and there. I hate that. I despise it. When you forget the power of the blood, brother, you are finished.
Yeah.
There's nothing but a Pentecostal laddering that's gone beyond God. Brother Branham had that same experience, criticizing a woman, even living in adultery, going from boyfriend to boyfriend because the poor old girl had nothing. Brother Branham said, I want to let you know. But he said, God said to Brother Branham, that's one of my children, and you'd be blotted out without that circle, but don't you talk about how big you are and how smart you are.
Amen. Yeah.
A fellow named Doctor, I forget his name, had the same experience in his own little way. Okay. We already read Revelation 22, 1 to 4 about the New Jerusalem. So you see, this is in flesh. With this in mind, you will notice why I'm so careful to always say Rhema Logos. And with this in mind, you can now understand 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 10 to 15. You can understand without me reading it. That's in where it tells you that the world is dissolved. The world is dissolved and being formed again. Now listen to me. The purpose of the first earth and the first heaven was to be dissolved and come back in a resurrected perfect state. Expendable. That's why you came in this body, to be expendable. You couldn't be in a theophonic form or true spirit body expendable. Who's going to expend you? But the greater glory lies in the fact that this which we called expendable, God recreates.
Amen.
Into His own glory. Now do you mind suffering? The invisible things of God which you don't see are waiting for you and me.
Amen.
But there's a price tag. It's a trial of our faith. Brother Branham said in marriage and divorce, God will create again, not through sex, but divine creative power by the Holy Ghost, the cosmic light, the potash, the calcium, and what's the 27 minerals or four? I don't know what they are. I never can remember all of that. Going to bring it all back, and it's going to bring it back to a state which is no longer expendable.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? That's why they're like the second creation. You must be born again.
Amen.
When you're born again, you're not like the crack grammar. You're born again and again and again and again and again. Like the legalist. When you're born again, you're sealed in, period. And now that the token himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is here, the boxcar is sealed and stamped. You're ready for delivery, whether you know it or not. You're being made ready. The people prepared. The people prepared. You are prepared. You're just being made ready. Be ready for the marriage supper. You that are already bride and groom, or bride rather, and the attendants and the friends, you are prepared. You are prepared. They picked you out. You're identified. But you're not ready. Everyone child trained. I'm going to be 2 million years old before the rapture. It was left to me. But God's going to prepare me. Because the Bible said the vessel's prepared by God. What do you think of that? Oh, they say Lee Bales, he's a rotten scum. Never said it wasn't. I'm not proud of it. But I'm not fooled like you are, some of you guys out there. I've heard your tapes, and I know what you're saying. Doesn't bug me. But Job said, for I know what my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand the latter day upon the earth, and though after skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another. No more revelation, no more channeling. I'm going to be there myself, though my reins be consumed within me. And the same thing says today when that which is perfect come. What is perfect? The perfect revealed word for the hour. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? I'll tell thee, thou art the perfect, sinless, righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't even come, my beloved, to the pearly gates. Oh, don't you see what we're looking at, Brother Sitcher? I'm like Brother Branham this morning to tell you, if we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. By the grace of God, I don't want to stand in the way, because I'm ready to be blown up. If this world needs to be blown up, and I get blown too, praise God, let it blow up. I can't help it anyway. I become caught in the trapments of God, the enticements of Almighty God. That's what he said he'd do at the end time. He'd entice her. Entice her to a desert place there in the wilderness. Entice her there in the valley, depending on him and him alone, like Elijah, for the water and the bread.
Amen.
Taking some little special devious way to do it, which was by another Elijah.
Yes,
people can't understand our faith. I don't ask them to, but I'm going to tell you, God's working in his people.
Yes,
absolutely, without a doubt. Listen. Back to John 1 and 1. The beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and so on. Here is the God who will express himself. And what he is in the expression of himself, he always was, when not expressed. You follow me? When he expresses himself. That doesn't change God, it's the same God. The expression, the Logos, does not change the Rhema. Logos only expresses it. Brother Branham used the two words interchangeably. The Jews use it interchangeably. Now why does some fuzzy individual from Illinois run around the world and goes, oh yeah, 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 he's right, yeah, yeah, yeah. He calls Brother Branham a liar, makes him a false prophet, and tries to sell you on Logos, so they're two different things, and the Bible interchanges them. I've got the concordances. I'm not a Greek student, but I'll take and show you the derivation of every root.
Amen.
And they're interchangeable. If they're not, then Brother Branham goofed up. He said, that's God in print.
Yes,
he said, Christ is the Word. So call Brother Branham a liar, and then people give him money. He sent me his junk. I put on the front, refused. Then you got a woman calling the Dobie house. The word is Dobbs house. You get her stuff and you like it, I suppose. Refused. There are some people that came into the presence of God. They said, we're here because we casted him. He said, refused. I'm not trying to be mean. Hey, look. Let him tell the truth.
Amen.
I won't say one word against it. If I can be corrected, and I can be, I'm happy to be corrected. But don't bring me this all this junk of mystical hogwash. The prophet told me flat about myself. People don't believe it. My best friends don't believe it. I'm lying in the presence of Almighty God in the white throne. My hand upon this Bible. I'm not lying to you. Do you think people believe me? Who cares? I'm ready to die, whether I want to die or not. I can't help it. I gotta go. I'm gonna have some special preparation to poke him in a lighted candle. I'm gonna recant somehow, do this and that. You gotta be nuts. I don't know how to do it. Live or die, sink or swim, and I'm both dying and sinking. Aren't you? 76. You got an older lady here than me. I don't care what she believes. That's her business. She's stuck. She thinks she's sitting on the fence. I got news for her. She's kidding herself. True, Jack? Certainly it's true. Don't kid yourselves. You kids the same way. I don't care if you're old or not. You're kidding yourselves. You think you can jump this way and jump that way. It's too late. You got an idea, Noah. He was a dear old soul and he had the gangplank. When God shut the door, he pushed it open, put the gangplank on, had a net. Come on. You think he did? He had one little place to look up, light. And I don't think there's even glass on it. But it formed a flange by the Holy Spirit, like the top of the pyramid, so the dirt and junk couldn't get into the rain. And he had a free channel. And he had only one place to look that was up, and everything around him was gone, 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 a long time gone.
Amen. Yes, sir.
The water above every mountain showed that every kingdom was gone, gone, gone. And today the kingdoms of this world are the kingdoms of our Christ, whether you believe it or not, and we shall reign and rule him 1,000 years.
Yes, sir.
My Bible shows the future perfect end. In other words, it calls that which isn't as though it were. It said, you better believe it. You follow what I'm saying? You're not school kids 1 and 2 years old. You can't be. You can't be sitting here like those people in college. They couldn't read or write when they came up with their degrees. I got a wanted degree this morning that says red hot for the presence and the word of the presence.
Amen.
Try. Do what you want. As Brother Bannon would always say, I say the same thing. All right, here is the God who will express himself. And what he is in the expression of himself, he always was when he was not even expressed. Now, to me simply, verse 2 of John 1. In the beginning, now it says, the same was in the beginning with God. What does it mean? It is simply stating the principle we're talking about in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. What God and who he is, essentially, as to character, quality, what he done in the beginning, in the end, in the middle, who cares? One God. The unfolding God who has major and dominant roles. At one time, the role that is major becomes subdominant. The role of the Son of Man was subdominant to the Son of God for almost 2,000 solid years, and for a few years became dominant. Wasn't it? Tell me, do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. Because the prophet's gone. You're not going to have somebody else come on the scene now and do this and do that. He told us everything under those seven seals will put us in the rapture. We've got it.
Amen.
So what do you want, Preacher Nickel?
Right.
So now it becomes subdominant. Don't look for the big miracles. Look for healings. Look for grace. Look for everything.
Yeah.
But look for the Word of God, the life in it, to do it.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
All right. Number three paragraph. All things were made by Him, without Him was not anything made that was made. All creation is attributed to Him, and all creation is after His own Rhema. In other words, there couldn't be one single solitary thing that wasn't already there in the blueprint of God Himself. And when Satan came along and began mixing it up and made everything go to pot, then that's when God called in, and He called it sin. And people think the devil can create, can heal, and all that stuff. They are insane. Now watch verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, out of all the millions of created things, man alone is mentioned as having any relationship with God, exactly as it says in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, let us make man in our image and let him take control under my dominion. I'm giving it to him, turning it over. It says that to nothing else. It was not said to the beast. It was not said to the serpent. But the serpent said, I'm going to take it over. Because Satan's words were in his mouth, and Satan wanted the kingdom.
Yeah.
Thus we see another principle in the becoming God, who went into an expression or conduit and showed, without himself being seen, that he was a creator. See? He showed himself. Now that's in Colossians. All things were made by him. And the same thing in Ephesians. God by Christ created all things. See? This one that became flesh was already there, a complete image of God, the complete assessment of God. Anything God would pour in would have to be poured into Him.
Yeah.
And anything we would get would come through Him.
Yeah.
All in the family of God.
Yeah.
So you see, the invisible becomes visible.
Yeah.
Now watch. Before He was a creator, He was a father. Now see, there's where they went haywire. They said, God created Christ, and He created all things. Before He was a creator, He was a father. But before He was a father, that factor, or part of Himself, was only like Rhema. It was nascent. It was quiescent. It was there, but there was no projection. An unexpressed part, is how you would say it. Or role. But it was there, and it was a part of God, and His Godheadedness. Now, with God as Logos from Rhema, He foreordains and predestinates the welfare of all His sons by providing all their needs, as indeed fathers should, and in bringing forth the only begotten one as the forerunner and frontrunner for all the family of God. We see this as the example of father-son relationship, with the true father headship bringing forth in and by His Son His very own self. Now, that's what I'm looking at as I see the Scripture. God always in Christ. If He was in Christ reconciling the world, then that's the pattern. That, to me, is a principle. And I cannot find anything that would jar the principle. See? Now, we go to Hebrews again. That little phrase in there of Hebrews 1, the third verse. Who being the brightness, or the outraying, or the effulgence, or that which comes forth of His glory, which means the actual reality of the assessment of God, who and what He is, and you know His preeminence, and yet you don't know it, but that's it, that's God. The express image of His person, that's the expression of His substance, and upholding all things by the word of His power. He couldn't do one thing with anything except He had the blueprint, the word, the Rhema, which would go into a Logos. He couldn't do anything about it. When He had by Himself purged our sins, that's when the one that came in, God by Himself in Christ purging, God by Himself doing all of those things. All right. So we see here then this one in Hebrews 3a, who is that which literally came forth out of God and is the only true assessment or true revelation of God and expresses absolutely the unseen God as to what can't be seen but is actually the moving force of the universe. Now, with that we go to John 14. Pardon me, bad throat. Jesus said unto him, 14:9, I have been so long with you, and you have not known me, Philip. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? He didn't say he was the Father. He said, how in the world have you known me? What do you know about me anyway that you don't know that I'm that expression? That I came out of God, that I'm the Son. He never said he was the Father. He said he was the Son of God. And then they said, well, hey, this guy makes himself equal with God. He's got equal power. What can he do? Well, we'd ask blasphemy. Forget it. Kill the guy. He's crazy. Sure, he's got some authority. He's got some power, but hey, that must be the devil. Well, they said, how do you count then for the things he can do what Moses did, as it were, in the men of God? Oh, they said, hey, come on, smarten up, buddy. The devil can do those things. This is not the Son of David. No. This is the other son. This is the Antichrist. Come on, man. They just nailed it down to what they thought it was. To see even more clearly God becoming, that is God not evolving now, but God becoming, changing the mass, expressing himself in his great roles in drama, until there's a complete climax. To see more clearly God becoming, and this becoming by the expression of himself, which is now faceted mainly in his son. We see over here, that's some scripture now, in 2 Corinthians. I'm losing, I know that, but just stay with me. Some of you will get it. I'm going right according to my notes. I wrote them very carefully. 2 Corinthians, I'm not insulting you. I'm just trying to help you. Say, look, just try to keep up with me because it won't take all day. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. Every single thing you look for in God, the unknown God, I don't care what you name it, you call it. It isn't anywhere but in him. In other words, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. What is Brother Branham saying? God is a mystery. And it's no mystery when you look at Christ. Yet there's a little element there. Now, he is quoting Scofield. He's simply telling you your mind and your present condition cannot fully absorb the complete intimacy, but don't worry about it. Just leave it. Hey, look, I don't know what's in all the pills I take, but the doctor wrote on the box, this contains vitamin E and zinc and B and whatever I need to see for my immune system. I just gulp them down. Let's see what happens. Now, I'm not asking you to gulp anything down on this morning. I'm going straight to the prophet and the word he gave. And if you don't take the vitamin pills, I'm sorry for you.
That's right.
You don't have to know everything, but we want you to know something, the becoming God. Not an evolving God, not a changing God, a great God who within himself was the drama of the whole universe and the whole existence and of himself, and he begins coming forth. Now you can't see this God, you can't see the genetic pattern, you cannot see life, you can't see these things, got to have a coat on it. And so he hides himself, we'd die if we could see him. So he puts it under a coat. Now, my brother, my sister, can you not tell a rose by what you see on a plant? You say, hey, that's a rose. What kind of rose? Well, it's this kind of rose. It's that kind of rose. It's that kind of rose. This is this kind of wheat, that kind of wheat, that kind of wheat. What are you telling me? You can't see that wheat. You're crazy. You see the coat.
Yeah.
And by the coat you identify. He said, can you not see the sun at night saying red at night? Oh, it's going to be a lovely day. Red sky in the morning, sailor's warning. He said, you can discern the face, the weather and those conditions. How come you cannot discern the times?
Amen. That's right.
He said, you're looking at me.
Amen.
William Branham said, you're looking at me. You're not looking at Lee Bale. Yeah. Now listen. Let's go a little further. He said, the image of God, who is the gospel of Christ, the good news of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, Brother Branham categorically placed himself here in the presence and said, you look at me, you're looking at the same thing the Jews looked at in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The same thing in Moses, all of those things. Now listen, there was a message or a good news attached to it. And the people turned down the man, and the man and the message were one.
Yeah.
They turned it down flat. And therefore they lost out. They could not take the covering. They could not take that which was hiding the glory of God. As Brother Branham said, Moses veiled God, and God veiled Moses. And had they taken the Shekinah glory, which was now literally the living word manifest, in other words, that same life, that same power manifested, and they'd given it back, they would have gone into Canaan's land complete conquerors. They turned down what was to get them in there and to keep them in there.
That's right. Amen.
The people are doing that today, except those few people that are bribed.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, Colossians 1:15. Now, we get the same picture. Who is the image of the invisible God? What is he telling you? You can't see God, but you can see this. And when you see this, you got everything you need. Listen to it. You follow me? Okay, Colossians 3:10. And having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, just a minute. You can look at something and not really know it. What is that? Well, it's this thing. Understand what I'm saying? You've still got to have somebody explain it. Renewed in knowledge according to the image. In other words, you get your knowledge of God through Jesus. You get your knowledge today through a prophet.
Amen. Yeah.
What was the image? The substance, the Shekinah, which is they, or that which came forth that hovered Israel. The pillar of fire. We couldn't see it. There's a picture of it. We don't need to see a pillar of fire. We see the man through whom God vindicated himself in his word. That is now the image. The knowledge of it is explained intrinsically. Where do you stand? You stand in a perfect faith. Oh God, I have faith. Bless God, you raised the dead. I can stop a storm. I can do this. Shut up and don't even come near me. Give me that hogwash. Off the word a million miles. Can't discern anything in the word. Far as I know, I have seen the dead raised, the blind see, the deaf hear. One time I prayed for a man with a radical mastoid. No eardrum, no nothing. I knew that he would hear. He heard instantly. What does it do? Nothing. I had no word. I was a hybrid, oneness, Trinitarian, falling away, legalistic, Calvinistic, God knows what. A typical prostitute, a dog. I'll take my hair off to you guys. Don't yell so loud unless you know what you're yelling about. Not trying to hear hurt anybody. Let's get this straight. Renewed in the knowledge. What was William Branham all about? Why did he tell me to stop discerning? Why did he tell me, said Brother Branham, did the gifts fail in my life because the age is over? He said, yes, the age is over. Why did he say they're on the shelf, as it were? I'm not against gifts in their proper order and all. I'm not against these things. But I'll tell you one thing. Without that knowledge of that image, you say what you want and do what you want.
Amen. Amen.
Now you think I'm mean. I'm not mad. I'm not mean. All I want is go home and just more or less sit there, retire. The Pope himself is declared by Dr. Malachi Martin. 91 to 92, we're 40 days off roughly, are we, somewhere like that, for the 91. By 99, he's going to be in complete control. They tell you right to your face. What is the Manchester Guardian, was it, Stan, that said that the Pope was retiring? One of the better papers in England. It was said also here in America. Brother Alphonse had it. The Pope's ready to retire. Brother Branham said, by prophecy, a Pope's coming out of America. And the world sits there. They already, the rug was pulled from under them. Kenny Goff was a good friend of mine. Oh, yes, the Antichrist is at Moscow. Mm-hmm, yeah, I think that's Seven Hills, dude. Oh, yeah, the Antichrist. Oh, yes, that's atheism. That's communism. Yeah. Oh, yes, and Satan worshiped them. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. A few people knew it was the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church and all the whores with her. But they never had enough brains to come out. They stood with Trinity.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? The pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah.
And Brother Branham said, the closer you are, the further you are. See, he didn't say that, Brother. Oh, yes, he did, because he said the greatest lie in the world is 99% true.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. I'm not here to fight. I'm going to fight for what I believe. You people came to hear me. I thank you. God bless you. I love you. But nobody's going to change my form of preaching. That was put into our Constitution of Ohio. I have control of that pulpit. I don't care what anybody votes. It's right there. We control it. I am going to speak this message as I see it, vindicated by William Branham. I have my say. Nobody has to listen. Nobody. And the church doesn't mean that much to me. I sunk a lot of money. Doesn't mean anything to me. I can go down the road and preach. I feel better in a building than such like an old garage than a nice looking church. Isn't it funny how life goes? One time I dearly wanted a nice church. Now I got it. Back to the chicken house. Except I want some eagles. God forbid for me to have chickens because almost a weasel come and gets them. All right, we read these verses of scripture. We're back over here then. We read Hebrews, the image of Almighty God. Now let's, because there is a knowledge concerning this. And without the knowledge, remember, you are renewed in your mind. And this is the mind age, and the mind age is repentance. Change your mind, change your mind, change your mind, change your mind. This fellow from New Zealand, Gisborne, how he came behind me down there in Saskatchewan. Remember John and you Goyce from Saskatchewan? He came behind smarting off. Repentance, yes, sir, wasn't what Lee Bale said, bless God. It's when you have that feeling. Sensual. Women speak in tongues in his meeting. He hasn't got a clue to what this word's about. Try to talk this word, he bristles. Brother, if you think, back home, I won't mention your name for anybody about you. If you think he's bristled, you wait. You wait, cousin. You ain't seen nothing yet. They can't talk the word. They hate it. They hate it. Because this is the original gospel. They went off target 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years is a long time to be off a target. Come on. Second Corinthians, if we ever get there. We'll get there. Right on. Right on, right on, right on. So you don't know, but I'm staying here a long time to work up a good appetite. I had a big breakfast this morning. I got energy galore. And I got the little black pills in my mouth that have medication. Don't even need water, but here's looking at you. Now, lots of time. See, I came down here. I thought, oh, God, get me out of this mess and never come again. Now that I'm here in the mess, he's helping me. I'm going to mess you up real good. Listen. 2 Corinthians 16-18. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord. What's he talking about? When Moses is read. And you don't read with your heart. You have to read with your brain. And then it has to go to your soul. Then it goes back to your spirit. And that begins to make the whole nature of your life, whether you're a God-oriented, word-oriented person or not. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. In other words, you will now begin in the last age of the mind through repentance when you turn your mind to the vindicated word, something is going to happen to you. That which is upon your mind will be taken away, and one day you'll suddenly say, hey, bless God, that's as clear as water. Hallelujah, now I see it. Now say, now brother, how do you see it? Brother Bale, I don't know, and I don't care, but it struck me. Now you say, Brother Bale, I don't think that's really Bible. I wonder if I can, I I'm a terrible guy finding scripture, but I just may be blessed of the Lord to find it. I don't know. I can find it out. Not there. Jack, where is that? Somebody got a little brain better than mine. Jack said if he had a brain, he'd take it and play with it. He's going to sue it for non-support. I know what he means. But where is that? I say, over here in John, where they said, now we know that, you know, that you tell the truth. So over here around, what is it, 16? He said, is it 29? I don't know where it is. It's okay. His disciples say, now here, watch what he says here. That day you shall ask my name. I had my finger, not Jack had his brain on. I just had my finger on it. See, it shows you proof it's got to be your brain. Why did my finger say, hey, brain, you ready? Doesn't go by feelings. What's the word of God got to do with my feelings? Oh, my feelings got hurt by you, Lord. Well, he's just smart enough to make them good. Well, come on, tell me. The Father himself loveth you because you love me and you believe that I came out from God. I came forth from God and then come into the world and again I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said, lo, now thou speakest plainly and speakest no proverbs. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things and needest not any man should teach thee, but by this we believe thou camest forth from God. And Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Now listen, if you read the entire context, you'll say, what's with these guys? They were dopey way back there a few days ago. They couldn't see. Jack says, take the difference between split peas and buttermilk. After Philip, I been so long? Well, I'm sorry, Lord. I just have, my head is full of soft dough, uncooked dough. I'm sorry. I mean, man, I tell you what, I just caught right stupid over the mirror. Now he gives him this real tough one. With no, nothing backing it. Now we see. If the disciples did it, you and I are going to do it.
Yes, sir.
It's going to break upon you. It's going to break upon you. Believe that he is here. I don't care if he's not here in the pillar of fire in this building. He's with the bride. Brother Branham said that pillar of fire will lead us into the millennium. And if you are part of the bride, he is here for you somewhere. He is your head.
Amen.
Vindication proves it.
Yeah.
I've been preaching for a long, long time. I'm going to tell you, after 25 solid years of preaching this, I'm finally beginning to understand vindication. And I've preached it for 25 solid years. Don't feel bad. Just join the dull bums up here. You see what I'm trying to tell you? I hope you do. Now listen. In 2 Corinthians, that 4th chapter, I read 13:16. Now, we're going to 18. Now it says, nevertheless, we'll turn to the Lord. Now, where the Lord is that Spirit. Now notice, where the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord said to my Lord, what Lord is here? The Lord that came down with the shout. See? That same one that brought the word. There's liberty. You're gonna get loose from Babylon. But we all with open face, as beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord. Now listen. We are looking into a mirror. When you look in a mirror, you're supposed to see yourself. Not somebody else. See? But you're looking in the glass darkly. What is supposed to be in that glass as you look in? Christ.
Amen.
The Bible in God in print.
Yeah.
Now, when your mind is unobfuscated, cleared of the denominational veils and all that junk, you will begin to see the Lord in His glory, which you will see the positive truth and assessment and your relationship to Him, and He'll start to work on you to immortality. Did you get what I said? Well, I said it, and you heard what I said, so now you know what I said. Now watch. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. It started with Paul, and he had it. They threw it out the door. The bride played Eve the prostitute. She couldn't wait for her mate. Brother Branham said so. But there will be a mate. According to Paul, vindicated by Brother Branham, a bride who does not sell out.
Amen.
She cannot be seduced.
That's right.
No, it can't be. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. Someone fool me. Ain't nobody gonna fool us. Drop dead, cousin. Oh, here's a man with greater mirrors. I remember a certain man said, oh, Brother Bale, there's a man there down in Brazil. He's got the same ministry Brother Branham has. I said, Brother Branham, you're a good friend so-and-so. Said, there's a man in Brazil. Could have been Uruguay, Paraguay, down in South America. He's got the same ministry. He said, forget it. He told me that nobody would have my ministry as long as I live, and Brother Branham really ain't dead.
Right.
I never saw two Elijahs on the scene at the same time. This get proved out. Amber heard that. I never heard of the guy anymore. What happened to Jimmy Jones? He tried his best to emulate Brother Branham. He led a bunch of people in Ghana down here in death. What is, how many hundreds? 700? Now, who knows? What am I trying to tell you? Anybody after Brother Branham is a counterfeit.
Yeah.
I'd ask you something. Let's get this straight. When Elijah was on the scene, and Elisha followed with double the miracles, whose name goes down in history? Not Elijah. Elijah. I'm not saying he was a counterfeit. I'm not saying that. I'm just letting you know how the Word of God works. Once you've got the original, I don't care if somebody comes on the scene. The first man having had a 14-carat diamond, I don't care if the next guy is dressed in diamonds. I ain't listening.
Amen.
So, Brother Bale, you see, you're stupid. I turned my corner. I'm flat on my face. I haven't got any more strength to run around. What are you trying to kid? Want to run around listening to that guy, that guy? Phew, man alive. You're barking up a wrong pole. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, it's a ministry. Now, Jesus, I'm here, and I know that you are going to change me, renew me, and transfigure me like your word said, and I'm going to have a body just like yours. Hallelujah. And he says, yes, my son, here is Brother Branham with his ministry. Oh, I heard a strange voice just said. You know that crazy voice said, it said that's an... Oh, boy, I'm sure glad I know the difference between God and the devil. Now, come on, I read you scriptures. You believe it? Now, get with me, brother, sister, because listen, I'm telling you the truth. This is, thus saith the Holy Word of God. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, ye faint not, because we receive mercy not to faint. It's in a ministry. It's a special ministry by the Holy Ghost revealed to us in Ephesians, the first chapter. It's the Spirit of God Himself. And the Spirit of God does not mean it's not God, another God. This, that, it simply means God is true to His own characteristic and nature and is now displaying it.
Amen.
That's my own definition. You better not amen it, brother. You can hot water. That's Lee Bale's definition, not Brother Branham's. Now, you can go along with that if you want. You can do something with it or not. But I'm telling you what I believe. When the Spirit of God moves, as a servant said, definitely Brother Branham said, it's not another spirit. It is a spirit of that one. But I want to ask you, when something's created, I want to ask you a question. What spirit is it? God. When you see a healing, what spirit is it? God. When you see that word fulfilled, what is it? God. So therefore, my definition is correct. Spirit of God means God acting according to His intrinsic nature. Not another God. God now moving. Rhema becoming Logos. Okay. Read it further. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. What hidden things of dishonesty? Everything that came from the original lie. What was the original lie? Changing one word. Not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully. That's a servant. But by manifestation of truth. In other words, an absolute vindication. We commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Listen, this man says, I'll be responsible for you. Holy man. I got news for you people. You're here at your own risk. Yet I'm responsible, what I tell you. William Branham said, I will be held for you.
Yes, sir.
If that is not Christ speaking in a man, you tell me what it is.
Right.
Be Christ, because Christ is responsible.
Yes, sir.
God is responsible. Brother Branham categorically said, when Adam sinned, he did not send an archangel, he did not saw this, he did. He himself came down. Who's come down today? People can't believe it. William Branham is just a man. Well, Lee Bale is just a jerk, so what? I don't have convulsions yet, but I might. Hey, listen, this has nothing to do with me. Not a thing to do with me. I just preach it. I'm not even nice doing it. I went to Brother Branham in tears. So what's the difference? But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Lost? It's over.
Amen.
Chaff. Malachi 4. White throne. Leaving neither root nor branch. No more propagation. It's gone. This generation, it's over.
Right.
Brother, sister, this is a finality that has not yet sunk in. God help us. God help us to get to the sobriety of the point. And I'm going to tell you what the trouble is. The American spirit. I laugh at everything. I joke at everything or I would go crazy and blow my brains out. I make crazy jokes with my wife. Left-handed compliments. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. We get sick, tired. I never saw my wife look so tired as just the other day, and I've known her for a long, long time, way over 50 years. Been married 51 years. I've known her 53, 54 years. We're at the end of the trail. Now, my end of the trail means I'm fatalistic. Who's going to help me? Come on, be nice to me. Tell me about the other side. Give me some hope. Call on the Pope, call on the Bishop, do something. You can't do anything for me. You can't do a thing for yourself. We're like David. There's one step betwixt me and death. I saw that happen when I was just a kid. I learned not the hard way, but I learned the true way. A man stepped off the curb. A truck hit him. If he'd have just not taken that one step, he'd be living. One step. And the Bible said the man that ran the bear got killed by a lion. What are you going to do about it? Okay. 1 Corinthians 15 and 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, as the sun will set tonight, we shall bear the image of the heavenly as the sun will rise tomorrow. You can't stop it. You know, if you're really a child of God, you can't stop this thing. Nothing you can do about it. If you get smarty pants with God, he'll take you off the scene. You lose rewards. Yeah, that's what you do. When it comes time for the bema, which means the presentation, oh, you'll get presented, but how? Let no man take thy crown. I'm very guilty there myself, and I blame my nerves because I want a scapegoat. But the funny thing is, when my nerves are really bad and I go to the Word, I feel good. I preach up here, I feel great. No problem, my hands, no problem. Bang the pulpit even, he's great. Feel fine, had a good breakfast. Nice people, love you. Wonderful. Word. Where do you think Brother Bram got his strength? From the conduit where the nourishment is. It's a thing called printed pages. Oh, I got a secret food you know not of. Terry was devastated. Terry didn't tell you the whole truth the other night. He tried to tell you what they did to him there in Edmonton, what they wrote on the walls about him and his wife. Oh, they're nice people up there. Not just Mossback, they're mountebanks. Yeah. Oh, yeah, this guy said, well, call in so-and-so, light the place up. Come on, Terry. I said, Terry, shut up and sit down. Let me tell you what you do. You don't put one man in your pulpit. You get in your office, your study with God and you, until the Word inflames your soul. And you get in that pulpit, you deliver yourself and your people. He did it. It saved his life. Where's Terry? I don't see where is he. Am I a liar, Terry? Did I tell you the truth? You know why it's the truth? I did it myself. That's when it unfolded. The presence. The Ephesians series. To understand what glory was. To see that. To understand the present spirit that was with us. One guy criticized. He said, I think, what did he say? I preached 17 sermons. I said, the guy's stupid. I preached 48. They hate the fact that I'll take 48 hours from one of Brother Brown's sermons, so they take 48 hours and all the junk comes out of their heads. I'm not here to fight them. I'm just telling you the truth. Their method and my method is not the same. I've got no time for anything except Brother Branham. He is the Bible today, and I take everything he said right back here because he told us on the tape, once you see this message, that's all you'll see in the Word, and that's all I see. And when I don't remember what he said, I find it anyway because the Spirit is guaranteed to bring to my mind those things he said. I preached a sermon one time for about 3 solid hours. I said, oh, God. Did I really preach it right? On a tape, I find he said in one word what I said in 3 hours. Forget it. Another time, 2.5 hours, he said in 15 minutes. You should listen to Brother Branham instead of me. I should listen to Brother Branham instead of me. But it's more fun this way. You bear the image of the earthly? That's your guarantee you're going to get the heavenly. Why? You're with the Word. With the Word. That's the renewing. That's what's going to take place. That's the renewing. That is the transfiguring. That is the metamorphosis. Old caterpillar baby, you're going to be a butterfly. Oh, you say. The ugly duckling story. That's no myth. It's the truth. Caterpillar to butterfly. Squash on the caterpillar. They squashed many a caterpillar. He woke up a butterfly in heaven. Oh, they made Paul a caterpillar. They made Peter a caterpillar. They made Jesus a caterpillar. He said, I'm a worm. I'm a caterpillar. Amen. Oh, what a butterfly he rose on Resurrection Day. You thought he was good when he was just in his flesh. And that was the best flesh ever. That was the real, true flesh. Oh, brother, sister, that glorified body. I don't know a thing about it. Because why? I'm not in it. But I'm sure going to like it, though, if it's what I hear it is. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. I got it because that's my destiny. Confess it. The word is nigh, even in thy mouth. Okay. Philippians 3:20-21. Philippians comes before Colossians. All right? Here we are. For our citizenship is in heaven. That's what I told Aaron and Rhonda yesterday. Kid, when you sign this contract, you got a contract made in heaven but executed upon earth. You better remember that. You made vows. That's what Brother Branham said. Hey, you can't break those vows. Why? It was made in heaven. You're going to go and come against heaven? Some of you kids sitting here think you can get married and be a couple of fools and then bust up and marry somebody again. No, not around, aren't you? I've booped you up so fast your head is ringing. Don't come around me with your stinking stuff. You child of God, you marry your child of God.
Yeah. Amen.
Bible says there's no escape for you. Contract.
Right.
Amen. We got kids in our church married. Good marriages, beautiful kids. Man, Lord, fill my church with lovely couples like that. I'm crazy about our young people. They know I'm crazy. They just didn't know why. Those young people, well, we got mostly young people. And those that are older, they're very young just the same. In fact, we've got some of their so spry chicken, bless God, their kids better watch out, they're going to get tramped on. They'll have hot rod cars before the kids ever get them. I kid you not. I tell you the truth. You can see I'm very happy. I love our people. Well, they deserve it. They love me. And they don't know what they got, but I know what I got. See? Good kids. Listen, our citizenship is from heaven. From whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Now, a lot of people want to change that to what's written to the body of humiliation, but that's really true. Because we never got a body commensurate to the seed. God bypassed it temporarily. Then in His glory and goodness, He takes this body that wasn't commensurate and makes it more than commensurate. Because He gives it one like His Son that He went into. See? It's marvelous what God does. Now, change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Now listen, how is He subduing? He came down and vindicated Himself to a prophet, a vindicated word, and it's that word of faith that you believe that changes you. He doesn't have another method, because all things are made by the Word, and all things are maintained by the Word. You say, well, in my case, Brother Dale, He does it different. You are plumb stupid, brother and sister, if you are that way. Who do you think you are to think you're an exception? Well, but I don't have to have this. Why do you think 8 souls made the ark?
Right.
Out of 5 billion people. I'm serious. Listen, I'm not a statistician, but neither am I some stupid dumb bunny. I can read, I can write.
Yes, sir.
8 souls made the ark. So in the hour of separation. They're not millions going to make it.
No way.
They turned down the Word in Eden. They turned down the Word in the time of Jesus and they killed it. They crucified it, see? The becoming God. Huh? Rhema Logos. Into flesh. They crucify it. The becoming God. They can't stand God becoming. And the becoming is always in the context of you and me as human beings, and they hate it. So you can tell they're not human beings, they're serpent seed. Had the princes of this world, and remember the whole world lies in the lap of a wicked one, and Satan owns it. Had the princes known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The assessment of God Himself and God presenting Himself as to His essentiality in a human form. This is He. And they said, kill Him. What are you doing this morning with the Word? Listen, I could name names. I'm not that mean this morning. Challenge everybody I'd name a name on. Say, stand them up here beside me. Let's go to it. I can name you names, men that turned down the presence. They knew all about it, just even when Brother Branham was alive. I can take you to man that preached it. He's right back in Pentecost. I got it in writing, brother, sister. Got it on tape. Don't make me a liar. I'll see you right at the white throne. No problem. No problem. And I'm lying to you. They don't want it. See, all right. Whereby He is able even to subdue all things in Him. Paul tells us the same thing as 2 Corinthians. When the veil is removed, when you open your mind from your creeds and your dogmas, those veils, open up your mind, the Spirit of God, the Lord being here by His Holy Spirit, and He's bringing, it is a ministry of a gospel. Paul's gospel, William Branham's message is one and the same. Now, in Paul's day, it was the cornerstone. Today, it is the capstone. Don't you understand what I'm saying? It's the same God, the same body, the same everything, but it's position different. It's position. The cornerstone is the capstone in a different position. The same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it. The flange is the neck. I never knew that Brother Branham had used the term of the neck till Dr. Cash found it. A few years ago, you that knew me and heard my tapes, I said, Dr. Branham, a chiropractor, came on the scene. He began to adjust the bride's neck and she screamed out she wouldn't take it. Because the neck is the flange. Doc gave me quotes. I laid them aside and forgot it. Get them, Tom. Get them to Jack. He'll spread them around. Send them to me when you get them. Doc's got several quotes. See, because there's where the true energy comes from, the head. And remember, when the head came out of the grave, the body had to follow. So when there's a capstone now to cap the whole thing, the body's got to come out of the grave. What's the grave? Babylon. The second death.
Yeah.
Oh, brother, sister, this is, I like this. I hope you're happy this morning. I'm not trying to whip anybody. It's just lots of fun preaching the word and preaching it tough because I need it, see. I'm telling you the truth. I'm so glad you're here this morning so I can get tough on myself. You think I'm tough on you? I'm not. I just keep screaming at myself inside. What's the matter with you, babe? You stupid ignoramus. You jackass. Trying to act like you're a horse of God, an eagle. You know that your mind is made out of corrugated tin for the, you know, like Brother Banner said about the cowhide with the piece falling on. That's the way I feel. Corrugated tin with the ring. Poing, 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 boing, boing. What's about to say? And yet I see a little stream of light coming through. I know this is vindication as much as I know, but God knows I want to know it more. So I don't think I'm hitting anybody needlessly. Now listen, we read over here in 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter and the fourth verse, it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now what is that image? That image is absolutely the essentiality of God is what we're looking at. What is the essentiality of God in this hour to you and me? Because that's what we've got to see. He is not here in person, so He is here in His Spirit, manifesting and convincing through the vindicated prophet that this is that gospel. That's what it is, brother, sister. That's what it is. I don't care what you call it. I will tell you what it is. Now, over here in Colossians again. See, going back and forth, 15 verse. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? He's that only begotten one in whom are all. Who is here? And the third and the tenth verse, again mentions the image. And right on down through the line, you can see it. This is God becoming. And that becoming was through Jesus Christ. Down to the very age in which we are living, until, as I have said, we are at the very end time when the Spirit of God is in our midst, according to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, with the Spirit of God revealing God to us, and we are in for our change. So, we hopefully are seeing the becoming God as ever revealing Himself God. The becoming God simply means the ever revealing Himself God. He is not revealing somebody else. He wasn't revealing Jesus Christ. He was revealing Himself through Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, the Father can only be revealed by me. And He said, furthermore, only the Father can reveal me. You're stuck with God revealing Himself through some channel somehow. Now, the thing is, we need the revelation. Without it coming upon us, there's going to be no change. We've got to see Him as He is to get our change. Everybody's got it backwards. They say, oh, I'm going to get changed to see Him. The Bible denies it. It says you've got to see Him to get your change. But that's simple. Yet only a handful of us see it in all the world. Everybody else, a million not living are never going to die. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to see Him. Hallelujah. If you don't see Him now, you won't see Him then. That's Bible. I'm not trying to get my own gospel. Hey, listen, how would I get my own gospel? My God, I can't even get healing out of an aspirin bottle anymore. I go into a store and I'm getting as bad as my wife. I go in one door and I'm sure that's the door and it's four doors down the road. And I get in the parking lot and can't find the car. Couldn't fight my way out of a wet paper bag. How am I supposed to have a gospel? Yeah, they got millions and billions of people, millions, literally millions of people. Oh, I got this, I got that, and pervert the scripture. I'm going to tell you, I may not have anything of myself, and I hope to God I don't, but if I got one little spark from Him, that's going to take me through.
Amen.
Because God never fails Himself. Listen, so we hopefully are seeing the becoming God as every, as the ever revealing Himself God, but always substantially to His own, whose headship is in Jesus Christ. And Christ's headship is God. Christ expressing His Father completely, and we in turn expressing Him as completely with our infirmities as we can, which are under the blood, until we become the whole expression. Then you tell me when we're not glorified, we won't express Him perfectly. We will be in His glory and in His glory shine. We will be the assessment of God. Jesus was no assessment to God when He was upon earth. They said, who is that miscreant, that illegitimate bird that can do a few miracles? Oh, they said, who is this William Branham? He got carried away because he had a great ministry. Stupid Kentucky hillbilly. He doesn't believe the Trinity. This, that. Any jackass can talk. Talk is not cheap. Every word you're going to give account for. When this sermon gets dissected by God, I'll get whipped over the head for some of the stuff I've thrown in here, but not for one word of truth. Now, He'll forgive me, but I shouldn't try to smart off, and I hope I'm not. Thus, when Brother Branham said, headship is here, he literally meant God, Elohim, Jehovah is here, by means of a Logos to fulfill the Rhema, Logos of God. He sent Logos to fulfill Rhema. How can God manifest anything but what's in God? You know something? A man doesn't tell a lie and make him a liar. He lies because he is a liar. Brother Branham says, shape negative, formed and sent shape, and then come the world speaking lies. Now, what is the Rhema? It is essentially the omniscient, omnipotent, unknown God who will become Logos. Rhema is the allness of God translated, or tabulated rather, for action. Rhema is the Almighty God tabulated on a floppy disk. You follow me? Now they put the floppy disk into the computer, and they press a button and all the machinery and all the patterns of all the cloth begins to come out. I've cut him down now to an understanding mechanically. That is the Rhema. The minute you press the button, that means the power in life that is there to produce Rhema, because it is God's time now to go into action, becomes active, and watch it come out. Where are we on the floppy disk? Revelation chapter 10, verse 7. And Revelation chapter 22 and verse 10. I won't read it. I just said it. What is Rhema? It is essentially the omniscient, omnipotent, unknown God who will become what is already blueprinted within Him, come into action, manifestation. But note, take note, Logos of itself is unjustifiable unless and until it is perfectly declaring Rhema. Oh, they say on Judgment Day, did we not cast out devils? Did we not do this? Did we not bring God into manifestation? Did we not bring His Word into manifestation in this particular instance? Did we not bring God on the scene? Get out of here, I never knew you. Gifts are pretty tricky. You better have some of the door. And Brother Branham said, don't have those gifts unless a man's got discernment standing by the door. I know a man said, well, he said, Brother Branham said, I got perfect discernment spirits. Now, why don't you stand at the door and watch people go in, have the gifts in operation? Good question, eh, Ray? We both know what I'm talking about. Strange. Let me tell you again. Read my notes. Thus, Logos is Rhema set forth. But of what use is Logos unless Rhema is declared? In other words, all manifestation must have an explanation, a declaration. That is then the true Logos, the true God, reality, truth, amen. And amen. If Brother Branham could not take us back to the Bible, who needs it? If what he had was not a true representation of the Rhema, which you might say is the quiescent, nascent, unrippling, placid God, quiescent. unnoticed, unseen, cannot be believed correctly, but something is there. And like Leviathan, the deep begins to move and the waters begin to ripple. Spirit of God moving, forming out into Logos. That is Logos. And the nature of God is right in this Rhema here, demonstrated as Logos. And if any Logos you see then is not true to Rhema, you watch out. And many will come in the Logos saying, Lord, we cast out devils. Utterly scriptural. We prophesied in your name. Utterly scriptural. But there's a catch. They're false prophets. They're off the word. They have a manifestation and sign to take off the word. They are Deuteronomy 18. They are not Deuteronomy 18. They come and they say, I am Deuteronomy 18. Like the Pope says, I'm the vicar of Christ. He's alive. The Holy Ghost is the vicar of Christ. And William Branham was a sub-vicar. And under him, all five full ministers sub-vicars. Under them, elders and deacons, more sub yet. And all the people. Everybody Messiah. So, Logos must go back to Rhema. Because Logos without perfect Rhema, you better watch it. Judas raised the dead, healed the sick, cast out devils, and he was the habitation of the monster himself.
Amen.
Hey. Well, you can read it yourself, Revelation 3:14. Well, you know that is what it says. Okay, let's go back. You still with me? Well, you're not, but it's all right. I've got to make a tape. You know I like to tease you a bit to relax you. All right, 3:14. Unto the messenger of the church which is in Laodicea write. Now notice, unto the messenger of the church which is in Laodicea. That's William Branham, and we're the church in Laodicea. But we're not Laodicean, we're just a church in there. And of course we've been affected and infected by all their crud out there. I know thy works. You're neither hot nor cold. I worry you're either cold or hot. Get out of here. Now remember, heat lost is heat gained. How much heat does an iceberg take on? Just makes it watery, that's all. Because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, spew out of the mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, increased in goods, and need nothing, and knowest not your wretched, miserable, poor, naked, blind. Just like Cain was. When he turned down the peace offering, sacrifice. He didn't know it. Counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire. That's the condition of the church. He's wretched, miserable, naked, blind. That's the hour of the last manifestation of God, the last Logos of God coming to the bride. All right, now, what is this all about? I read it to you. Revelation, I talked about it. Revelation 10 and 7. And it said, but in the days the voice of the seventh angel, messenger, when he should begin to sound the mystery of God. That's the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ as has been declared by the prophets is finished. In other words, there is a gospel and it's all over. So Paul's gospel has got to come back in its perfected form. Because the form, though perfect in the sense of the Logos, could not come into the Logos. The Logos of this apostle Paul's doctrine is there is a resurrection. If you take that away, you've taken it all away. I don't even need Christ if there's no resurrection. You realize that's what he said?
That's right.
Now you people sit here, you haven't got the guts to say that. I don't either. I'm chicken. Paul said, if this life only, we have hope in Christ, and there's no resurrection, I am just a miserable, miserable, miserable. Oh, hallelujah, I got Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, I feel good. There's no resurrection. What you feeling good about? Oh, I feel good, hallelujah. There isn't any resurrection. Why are you feeling good? You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you the truth. Paul said, I missed it. Mind if I can get drunk? He drinking me merry. I'm dead, dead, dead like a dog. He never had one good thing to say about Christ. He said, well, he's talking about Christ's resurrection. I don't believe he is. He's talking about his resurrection. Because
yep,
the people said the resurrection's over.
That's right.
He said, now I missed it. Oh, fooey on that. Do you realize when Brother Branham saw that group, they wanted to come back? They said, oh my, I wish I could get out of here and I wouldn't come back. See, you missed the whole point. You haven't got the true Spirit of God teaching you. I want to come back. I want to come back. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back. Hey, man, I'm taking over. You watch my smoke when I take away. See, Christians don't talk that way. Abraham didn't have hope in this life. It was in the resurrection. Because God did not give him one place where his foot trod on when he was alive. So now you take that home and think about it. Now what are you going to do? You got to come back.
Yeah.
You were meant to come back.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, would you please just bypass your plan for me? You know something? If he'd allow you to watch it and let you miss it because you are a little bit stupid, you would smarten up in a hurry.
Yeah,
oh, God, what I missed. Now, listen, I know you can't perceive it. I cannot either. But listen to it. Believe it. It'll break upon our minds eventually when the season comes.
Amen.
Just believe the word. That's all I'm saying.
Amen.
Just to disabuse your minds of what's in there. Just take what Paul said. If there is no resurrection, I am of all men most miserable. There's no use.
Yeah. Amen.
I've been crowned. Struck down for nothing. Gone to the desert for nothing. Almost eaten by lions for nothing.
Yeah.
Just misery, misery, misery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, say, but Brother Paul, couldn't you? Could? No, Brother Paul, just couldn't. You see what I'm trying to get across to you? Vindication and fatality. Vessels prepared by God, period. Unto honor, period. And you'll go the way he said you'll go. You'll come the way he said you'll come. Now, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you. There's no point in lying, brother. Sister, I'd be stupid to lie. What would I gain by lying? Come on. Absolutely nothing to gain by lying. Listen, the mystery of God would be finished at the end time. The gospel run its course when the seals are open. When the seals are open, don't try to close them because the Branhamites are closing. They said the seventh seal is not open. Then if the seventh seal is on the book, then tell me, how is the book open?
Yes, ma'am. Right.
What they don't understand, the portion not known is that which is the personal coming of Jesus Christ in flesh. Because the seventh seal is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. God himself coming down with the open book and the prophet standing there revealing all the contents and mysteries of the seventh seal book.
Amen.
And the seals according to the scripture are ripped off. So they misunderstand Brother Branham's saying. They won't put it together because they want their own theology.
Yeah.
I saw that before he died and wrote the book. Everybody knew I was wrong. Oh, Brother Bale has not said that Brother Branham said. They didn't know what he said. They still don't know.
Amen.
Now, you might not like this kind of talk, but I'm going to stand right here and just say it anyway. I'm just mean enough. Yeah. Now let's go a little further. Revelation 10, 22 and 10. And he said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of the book, for the time is at hand. It's already been sealed. So therefore, at this point, it's unsealed. It's unsealed by the man in Revelation 10 and 7. And at that time, it says, he that is unjust still. The die has been cast. There is no use praying. There is no use pleading. You are straight at the white throne. Gone, gone, gone. Come, come, come.
Amen.
It's over. At the time of the seals. Root in your branch. Am I preaching a hard gospel? Something you can't take? If you can't take it, it's not my fault.
Amen.
It's not God's fault. It's not the prophet's fault. It's the devil's fault, and you're listening to somebody outside of God.
Amen.
Now, I don't say, listen to Lee Bale, you got to listen to God. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you what the prophet said. I'm telling you what's in the word here. It says at that time when the book cannot be closed because it's been opened for the last time. The Bible distinctly said to Daniel, close it till the last time. So this book here cannot say anything different. And so when it was closed to the prophet, the scribe at that time, which is John, who was a scribe with perfect recall of the vision, he was told to close it. But the book sometime has to be opened. And when it's open, you'll never close it.
Yeah.
But it'll close you. There'll be no more theology coming out of it. He just unjust still. He filthy, filthy still. He righteous, righteous still. He holy, holy still. Behold, I, now notice, behold, I come quickly. This is the separation of Matthew 24 by the word. They're separated. Soon will come the separation in Luke 17, which is by the rapture. See? All right. Now, behold, my words, every man, give me a man according to worship me. Now, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the first and the last. Now, he said, what you saw at the first is now at the last, I am he. Now, he said, watch. Blessed are they that wash their robes. Where they got that word? And they, you know, the Dewey's commandments is more than I know. Somebody just blew it. See, he was a theologian trying to make the Word of God express the way he expressed it. There's a fellow over there in Holland. Man, was he a shock and a surprise. He said, well, you see, Brother Vail, our people over here would not ever believe that hell wasn't eternal. So I said, I had to fix it up and make Brother Branham say something else. Now, he was going to fix his way to sort of making a net. You got a net with all kinds of holes in it. You ain't going to catch fish, you idiot. Why should maybe take that back? I maybe degrade the idiot. Somewhere. They that wash their robes. They may have the right to the tree of life. Now notice, the right to the tree of life that Adam and Eve forfeited, we are allowed to get. That's the immortality of the saints, which is 1,000 years before the gates of the city.
Amen. Yeah.
Can't you see it's all over, white throne, everything else? Now, if we really see what I'm saying, we will rejoice with joy unspeakable, and our meetings could be filled with loud praises to rend the roof. Not some hollow yelling as they did in Brother Branham's day because they knew he had reality, and they were shouting their own understanding. But I mean welling from the depths of an understanding of our hearts. Oh, God, I stand in your presence amazed and know truth, and I'm a part of it. That's what you're looking at, brother, sister. I don't mind people shouting. I don't want to be yelling around me when I'm preaching and teaching, concerning somebody else. I did Brother Branham all the time. It was funny, Billy Paul tells me a story of a certain man. He always yelled amen and screamed and nobody could hear anything. One day a little woman sat in front of him and she was yelling amen and screaming. He couldn't hear. He grabbed her purse and boing! He hit her on the head. She fell between the seats. She never yelled anymore around him. I don't mind shouting in the right place. Now look, I'm not, we're human. We're supposed to praise God and everything has breath, praise the Lord. But you know, I'm looking for that day when that sweet spirit of something comes amongst us, a sick or healed, we praise God with something we never known before. It's like Brother Branham said that new name. I don't understand the first thing about it. I heard him first three tapes. The fellow preached. I don't know what he said. I don't think he knew what he said. Nobody else ever knew what he said. Because Brother, you know what Brother Branham said? I wrote what Brother Branham said. I said, Brother Branham, I wrote what you said about the new name. And I said, I've researched everything I could find like you asked me to research. And I've done everything. I come up with nothing but what you said. Now, I tell you what. Tell me more. He said, well, you said exactly right. That's it. I said, Brother Branham, I haven't said anything. He said, if you said any more, it'd be wrong. They'd run with it. If you said any less, it wouldn't be enough. It's just right. You know what he said about that new name? One thing about it, not the new name maybe, explicitly as though you're going to know something. He sort of hinted by dreams and visions he had. But he said, people yell and scream the name of Jesus right now and doesn't get anything.
Sure.
Does the new name mean his name and the understanding which it is? And it's new? You know, one day God said to Abraham, to Moses, he said, by my name Jehovah, I have not been known. That wasn't true. He revealed his name, Jehovah to Abraham. But in that day, it was only Abraham knew about it. Now he's telling all the people.
Yeah.
To Moses the prophet. Now William Branham, he's the only one who knew the truth.
Yeah.
He tells us, now we know it.
Amen.
See, all these things are so vital and necessary. Okay. Headship is returned. That's what Brother Branham said. Headship is here. He meant literally Elohim, Jehovah. In other words, the Rema God himself, right down the line. So now, it is not what you believe about Logos or any manifestation of God, even as in Romans 1 and 20. Now watch. In Romans 1 and 20, they understood there was a God by creation. That's not enough. William Branham never came on the scene to vindicate a bunch of Pentecostals had the Holy Ghost because he cast out devils, did signs and wonders and miracles. He didn't come on the scene to say, oh, there's a God that lives, hallelujah, I can prove it. He came to reveal him. He said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. Who's here? What about him? What's he doing? Hey, where do I come in the picture? He told us every single thing. Everything we need to put us in the rapture. Everything we need it. Now listen, you cannot take any manifestation of itself and put your own interpretation on it. You have got to listen to the man who brought the manifestation. When he appeared to Moses, God manifested himself and declared himself, and he said, now you go down and tell Moses, hey, hold it. He said, you think I'm going to go down there and tell him I saw a pillar of fire and you spoke to me? They'll say, phooey on you. Well, he said, I'll give you a couple of signs. He said, that's better. In other words, he had to go down there not only knowing God himself, but he had to be in a position whereby God identified him so that he was absolutely, irrevocably, 100%, no way about it, the voice of God to the people. Now, when that became a reality, from that time on, death ruled, not life. That's right. Death ruled, not life. Because the sword hung right there. If you reject it, you're all dead. So when you look at what happened, you're not looking at life as you think. You're looking at death. Because how many people are going to be standing here and all the rest left? 500 standing here to be caught in the rapture and 6 billion people die. So the word of God is a sword of death to those who do not believe. Now how can you believe unless you're told how and what to believe? As Brother Branham said, you cannot really serve and worship God until you come by a prophet. Oh, the denominations hate that. The Pope stands up and says, well, our church tells you. Oh, yeah, your church tells you how to go to hell too. Kill 60 million Protestants one time, 60,000 Protestants one little time. Call yourself a God. Don't give me that stuff, Catholic Church. You better read your history and find just what you are. You Protestant prostitutes, you better find out where you came from, where you're going. Well, if I got to die for it, I hope it's, might I say, plenty to die for. I don't know. You cannot tell simply by logos manifesting. There must be a declaration. But the man that declares it must be vindicated. And you'll find that to be the record. Even as in healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, divining the future. But when logos comes, does it declare the rhema? And that by vindication. Now these guys run around the country and they take Brother Branham's vindication to say opposite to Brother Branham, and they've got the nerve to tell Brother Branham wrong. There's a guy over there in Europe who's got his doctorate from Oxford University writing on the oneness of the Godhead, and he made, said Brother Branham made 17 mistakes in one place. Well, I have an idea that his parents made a mistake. If you want to know the truth. That's not to me exactly facetious. Because birth control is in the Bible, and properly understood, there wouldn't be all these things around here we see. Remember, part of the tribulation coming upon Eve was what she did, and multiplied conception was the thing. So you can do what you want, just said that. If it's a mystery to you, it's a mystery to you. I'm sorry. Now, we are getting down to the nub of it all, finally. Here is Moses. The purpose of God is now to become. So he's meeting God. So the word can come for it. Here is Moses and the people, vindicated. Here is the word of God that said, listen, when a man comes on the scene with thus saith the Lord, and the thing come to pass, you listen to him, because that's the word of God. Now you come to Jesus Christ himself. Not Jesus, but the prophets in Hebrews 1 and 1. God was in the prophets. Absolutely revealing the word. Over here in John, we go to the 10th chapter. And verses, I will have to read them all, maybe 32 to 39. And he's talking here. And he said, Jesus answered, many good works I have showed you from my Father. For which of those works you stone me? And Jesus said, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, being a man, you make yourself God. Jesus said, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. If you call them gods unto whom the word of God came, the scripture cannot be broken. Now he said, God cannot fail to do what he said. I am that. Now listen, he is saying, I am that prophet, but what you don't know is that I am the literal Son of God. Now, the ministry that I have vindicates me that you know I cannot tell you a lie. And you've got to believe me. I am not only that prophet and Messiah, I am literally that Son of God. Where the Lord says, sit thou on my right hand, for this day have I begotten thee, and thou art a son, and so on. Now you say, they wouldn't listen. If he called them gods, to whom the word came, the scripture cannot be broken. That's Ecclesiastes 3:15, so on. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified, that set aside and proven, and sent to the world, thou blasphemest because I said I'm the Son of God. Now, if you can accept a prophet with thus saith the Lord, vindicating himself, or God vindicating that he is that person, identifying himself, then why cannot I identify myself and show you by the same infallible proof that I am that one? Well, that's what he told him. Now, he said, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. If I don't fulfill Deuteronomy 18. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped. Now, you see, they would not take the declared revelation of the Logos. They said, Rima, 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 Rima. They had their own lovely interpretation. Now, Logos, the Rima becomes Logos. He stands out there and he said, now, this Rima am I. Over in Luke 4. In Luke 4, he identified himself. See, as the anointed one. They said, hold it. No dice. Brother Branham identified himself, went right back to the word. They said, no dice. They would not take it because that is exactly history. And you will never, 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 never change history. Now, here is William Branham of this hour. Here, then, is the becoming God. God always Logos to his Rima. And always Rima perfectly defined by Logos or forget it. Now, ask a question. When was Rima not crucified? John 10:33. The Jews answered and said, for good work we do not stone thee for blasphemy, because thou being a man makest thyself God. That's exactly what the Bible taught. That's exactly what the Bible said. The Rima said it. The Rima blueprint, which is actually God, in his own principles, essentiality, and his own destiny, now begins to come forth. A virgin shall bear a child, told where he'd be born, told all about him. And when the Logos is there, the Logos now has to go back to the Word and explain exactly what Rima is in the position of Logos. And that's when they say, listen, boy, get out of here. If William Branham had not opened his mouth and said, oh, my brother, sister denominations, oh, you great Pentecostals, oh, you great Trinity. No, but the minute identification came and the Rima took its actual position by reason of Logos, proving the essentiality and the dynamism and purposes and the fullness of God, they said, step out of the way, boy. We'll get you and everybody like you. I ask you a question. Where did that come from? It came from the devil. Amen. Who are these men representing? They're representing the devil. Amen. Can you think for 1 minute there's going to be a great church at the end time? Multitudes? When the Bible says, as the days of Noah? But the poor old boy that came out had two incestuous daughters, and they lived in a homosexual region, and they were like dumb bunny ignorant idol worshippers almost. And only three made it. In the days of Noah, just a little family made it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
Logos. Logos at that time was two angels going down there. In other words, they were the appointed word of the hour, and it took angels to do it. Because that's what it's supposed to be. Whereas God manifested himself back there to Abraham and Sarah in the tent. Now, we could read also in John 8:37-48, but you know that's when Jesus said, there's no place in you for my word, you're not going to make it. Now go back to Eden. In Eden, Logos, Rima Logos, was crucified. They turned down every evidence and manifestation of God, and the devil took over the kingdom. Now at the end time, in Hebrews 6, it says they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh, at the end time. Now, let's go to Hebrews 6. Brother Branham said this. I didn't, so I just, you know, I'm just being a parrot. This is what God showed him in the cave. Cave's all open now, they claim. I don't know. Now, it says here, we're going to go to perfection if God will permit. God didn't permit. Perfection could not come, which means absolute conclusion, the finishing, the polishing, the end of it. Take your right throne. All going on now. Will have been. Say, sit tight, children, it says. It's over. God wouldn't permit it. Now he said, it's impossible those who were once for all enlightened, tasting the heavenly gift, partaking the Holy Ghost, tasting the good word of God and the powers and authority of the world to come. I've told you time after time, this message is getting us ready to go into the millennium. Without this message, we would not be ready to go to the millennium. You say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Bill. Well, you believe what you jolly well want to believe. I'm just showing it to you. Why would you taste it if you didn't need it? You like Sister Brother Branham's mother? Gave you a big shot of Castro just as a preventive medicine? No. Moses said, this word is what's going to make you shine over there. How do you start to shine? Right now, by the veils of denomination ripped off your minds and you go to the pure word of God, whether you see it, whether you can understand it, this is what the prophet was vindicated for. This is it. God help me. And if I never get it, I'll never turn from it. Listen, I don't understand the weaving back and forth of God and like Brother Brown. Do you think I'm going to dump it? Don't be ridiculous. I'm not going to dump it. I get sort of nervous at times, but I couldn't dump it. No. Why would I dump it? Where would I go? Okay, listen. Once for all, they taste the power of the world to come. In other words, Brother Branham stood there with God in him, creating, raising dead, every single thing. He told us, like Einstein, if we used our faith, linked with the faith of God, literally create worlds, as it were. In other words, this oneness coming with God, united by the Word, more and more of the Logos. More and more we're becoming a Logos of that little bit of Word that's in us. Because if He's Word, then we are Word. What comes out of Word? Word. What comes out of cats? Cats. Cats. See? What comes out of God's Spirit? More God's Spirit. What comes out of God? Children of God. What comes out of Word? Word. You see what I'm trying to tell you? The whole thing is Word. You can't add or take from it. Now, he says right here, you taste that power of the world to come. Now, having fallen away, they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. Tell me when they never crucified the world. Tell me when they never crucified the becoming God. They crucified him in the garden. They turned him down. They crucified him outside the time when Abel was there with Cain. Cain crucified him. The crucified word. And you go down the road and down the road. Every place you will see, when Rhema Logos is on the scene, a crucifixion takes place. And at the end time, they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. They love the manifestation of the Son of Man. When it comes to the Son of God revealing the things of God, they kill him. Then say, I'm going in on the Son of Man ministry, bless God. I've cast out devils. I've done this and I've done that. Hallelujah. Where are you with the Word, brother, sister? Now, don't try to call my bluff. You think I'm going to come down and try to discern again, lay hands on sick. I've had enough healings in our church back home where they just get healed because of the Word of God. Amen. Ask Pete Clausen. He's here. He tested it out. He's in his mind. He said, when I was preaching on the perfect faith of the perfect faith Brother Branham told us about, every time I heard that tape, I was under condemnation. Oh, God, how I came. Why am I not doing so and so? Suddenly I realized this is Brother Branham and his ministry, the Logos again. I began preaching. Pete said in his heart that one night, he said, I sure hope he prays the sick. I looked down and said, don't worry, I'm going to pray for the sick. That guy was being killed with his insides. He drank too much coffee for one thing. He knows it. As soon as he knew he was healed, he went home and spilled the coffee down there without one more belcher, one more problem. That's just one case. Do we need many? Aaron Raskin, what about him? He's back. That doesn't make me anything. The healing is in the Word. But I'm not selling out to a healing ministry because Brother Branham said that was a minor and all men are not called to pray for the sick. I am called to teach His Word. Amen. So get off my back. Amen. People get healed. Seen them healed by the hundreds. When they had no faith, I'd say, listen, do me a favor. Pretend you're 1,000 miles from here. I'll take over. Perfect healings. Demanded myself before God. I don't demand anything anymore except, oh God, near by your word, oh God. Word upon word until the life at your time liberates itself and looses itself to change my mortal members and my body. I have one message, brother, sister. The testimony to Jesus Christ is all I have. And to talk about his prophet. And take it all back to the Word. You expect something else. You expect something else of yourself. Don't expect it of me. I expect nothing of you. You do what you want. Now listen. God became. Strong statements. of how Jesus and God were one. Not Jesus God, not his own Father, but a conduit, a Logos. God became in this age the Logos. His picture was taken. His proof of manifestation before our eyes that Jesus has risen from the dead and is now doing in the Spirit what he did once in his body, proving he is that one who was the Son of Man, but now the Son of God manifesting himself in that particular order. But they did esteem him not. And once more the Rhema vindicated must die by crucifixion. And those who fail to see and hear will die this second death, which has already started in Malachi 4:1, where Brother Branham said, burns like an oven, leaving root in your branch. And here by the vindicated ministry of 2 Corinthians 3:18, which I read to you into chapter 4, are changing our temporary Logos bodies into the true Logos bodies around the Rhema of original word in our souls, given to our souls, living in our souls, until it moves into a life. As it says over in 1 John, in him was life, and that life was the light of men, telling you absolutely that God had within himself the ability to come forth into a manifestation, and that manifestation was not in nature alone, because nature cannot speak and tell the truth, but it would come into a man, and through men, that light, in order that men, by that Logos, which was the manifestation, the vindication, God showing himself, bringing his word, men would have light. Now, the light that came to all men, anybody can see there's a God. But to identify and know God takes a declaration from somebody that's vindicated that he knows that he knows that he knows, and we know that he knows that he knows, and we say, we're with you, brother. How many stood with Jesus at the cross? Nobody. One little woman maybe did her best. Even the one who leaned upon his breast and bragged about it.
Yeah.
Stood at a convenient distance.
Yeah.
Brother Branham talked about wrapping himself in the robes of his righteousness. I want to wrap myself in the robes of his vindicated word. That'll be all right for me.
Amen.
Yeah. That's all right for me. Wash whatever garments I got through the blood. Rather, more particularly, the life that's in the word.
Yeah.
The blood was shed once and for all. Try to pick it off the ground, wherever it is, I don't know, that's God's business. But I tell you one thing, the life is here today.
Amen.
And the word that we preach from Brother Branham has got to come into manifestation. It'll be a true Logos, and that's going to be in you and me. Just think, Rhema, the quiescent or dormant, unevoked, unmasked seed word lies in the ground of our bodies. Then the Holy Spirit touches it. It wakens to the roll of the hour, and today the baptism is unto immortality, and a few because she's a little number, end time bride. Now Rhema is Logos coming into the ultimate of a body just like his. You see, that's the ultimate. I know people, there again, we have this crazy indifference to the things of God. This dull stupor that invades us. You say, well, what is that body been? That's the ultimate of God. People are going to leave this earth dying. They think, oh, there's some big plan God's got over there. He's already told you his big plan. That's what happened in Brother Branham's ministry. He laid it all and said, oh, Brother Branham's got to be something more. Ain't no more. Whatever Brother Branham does when he comes back, that's fine by me. That's another period. That's resurrection hour. What's going on today?
Amen.
Talked to Sister Meadie. She was Brother Vail. She said, they talk about him. Brother Bill coming back. She said, no doubt. But she said, not going to do him any good.
Right.
Pretty astute woman. Pretty astute woman. What's it going to do? What's the word ever done? Any time Logos is on the scene, what's it do? It divides, brother, sister. And those that hope the greatest are usually those that are the wrongest. They that talk the most will be silenced. A little few that God ever shows himself. William Branham will be back. You bet he'll be back. Will he show himself to me? I hope so. I hope so. How will he come? Any way God wants him. What will he do? Anything God wants. And better than ever. No problem. But I don't have a revelation. I don't have a scripture. All I know, when Jesus came back, he told them the things concerning the kingdom. He did wonderful things. Will Brother Branham do it? If it's parallel exactly to Christ, he will do it. I don't know what the score is. Hey, when you come back, you live, breathe, you eat, you drink. Jesus ate a fish sandwich, Brother Branham said. He ought to know. He's a prophet. You mean a resurrected body, eat a fish sandwich? Why not? If he likes a fish sandwich, great, have two fish sandwiches. See what I mean? Always looking back, always looking forward, trying to figure things out. What's going on today, brother, sister?
Amen.
Yeah. See? I hope you don't leave here confused. I'll tell you what's going on. If you are a true bride child of God, the life that's in this word, that you're pounding word upon word into your cells, into your soul, into your spirit and mind, all coming down by the mind, given by William Branham, you, in spite of yourself, because you can't do it anyway, that life is going to make you immortal.
Amen.
If you are one of his, and that is that hour, I could die, because I'm old enough to die. But a lot of you kids, you might die quicker, because my genes are tough. You were born in a cesspool of filth on this earth. When I was born, we had good food, fresh air, a good earth and good water. You've had nothing but chemicals, poison, literally manure.
Yeah.
And Brother Branham said, if the body is mush, then the brain is mush.
Yeah.
I could outlive you. My wife and I are much stronger than our children. God pity our granddaughter and our great-grandkids. There's nothing but mush. So what about it? You've got one hope. That's the Word.
Amen.
I want to invite you to Christ. He is the Word. I've been preaching an invitation for the last, 2 hours? Who cares? All right. He may be quiescent, but he's coming into strong relief. The role change. God is changing us because of our roles. Until we reach the very ultimate, which is in this hour. Becoming from original and predestinated thought to the full manifestation of what lay dormant within us. And now here we stand in his presence. And as it says, so are we. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory. In other words, the full assessment. Complete. Nothing lacking. Not everything you thought about God, but everything that God thought about himself and included us.
Amen.
We will appear. Now, I like that a whole lot better because I got a lot of crazy ideas. I wouldn't qualify. When Christ was our life shall appear, we shall also appear in their glory. The full assessment of God in this hour, we have become according to the prophet of God. See, I stuck you right there, didn't I? Can you take the fact that you are, have become? Look at kid. If I have a chicken and a rooster, hen and a rooster, and they're a special breed, completely stabilized, that they'll produce exactly that strain, I have no problem counting my chickens before they're hatched as to what chickens they will be. Now, why do we have any problem with us chickens as far as their hatching is concerned? If the strain is there, if the life is there, the chicken is there. Now, I think you'll like better if I say eagles. If there's a mama golden eagle and a papa golden eagle. Now, she had to come from his life because that's how God did with man on earth. So we're going to have the same thing because the life is in the male. But she has the exact complementary substance that he has that's going to produce the life. Now, it's mating time. Do you think there's not going to be a little golden eagle?
Hallelujah.
If Christ the Word has come to a word bride, aren't there going to be a lot of little immortal
Amen.
Eagle word brides
Amen.
Taking off? Say, what do we want? Will somebody please start a hurricane so I can stop it? What if I stop the hurricane? I'm 1 million miles off the word, and you all fall for me. Question, how much eagle is eagle? How much bride is bride? See the picture? God became right down here to flesh. He's coming right down to our flesh right now. God becoming. Right in this bride that's going to stand on this earth. God becoming. Right to the wedding supper, incarnation. God becoming. Taking us with Him. Manifestation proves, brother, sister, this is that hour. May God help us to believe it. To get with us. To rip every veil off of our hearts, our minds. To build word upon word. Knowing if we are elect, the life will come forth. And we shall be like Him because we have seen Him as He is. Let's rise. Okay? Dismiss. Announcements. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You again for giving us this time. This energy, Lord, that we have had in order to talk to the people and where have been misunderstood, Lord, by being maybe a little harsh on corners and things. I pray You'll forgive me, and I pray You'll forgive me also, Father. But above all, I believe, Lord, that we have presented, according to what Brother Branham said, is the truth. If I'm wrong, I cannot help it, knowing that I wasn't meant to have it in the first place. But if I was meant to have it, Lord, I was meant to disseminate it, and I've done what I have done, and do it in Your name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any discrepancy, Lord, we pray by Your holy power that You will help us to understand that we can rectify it, because we know it's piling word upon word. And maybe, Lord, we had to leave a gap or two here because we didn't have the word to go with it on the grounds that it was not revealed to us. But we do see, Lord God, those intimate things that You revealed in the last day and how You've done it through the ages. Therefore, we're very, very grateful. And so, Lord, we have seen this coming more and more in the ultimate plan and those things which You have set before us. Help us to receive it in such a way, Lord, that we impress it deep within our hearts and minds. And there is no longer any way that we can, it will ever escape us for Your profit by vindication. We know He's vindicated, Lord. We know. We're talking to You, the one that talked to Him and through Him. Bless You that, Lord, that He called You Jehovah. We're talking to You today, Lord, and we know that what came forth was according to the Word. And we receive it. Therefore, O God, we believe we do have a place for us in our hearts, in our souls, for this word, and because it is, then Your life already is going to bring it forth unto immortality. And Lord, furthermore, we have the beautiful hope and the smile within our hearts and minds. It'll be to Your glory, Lord. We don't want it to shine in Your glory. That's good. We appreciate that. But we want it to be something for Your glory. Vessels, Lord, obedient, sweet, kind. Receive Your word, live it, love it, everything about it. Don't discredit, and not discredit anything. And now, Father God, because of our stand with the word and the prophet said, let this message be Your healing. I pray, Lord, not that I'm William Branham. You know that I never have believed that for 1 second. Never ever tried to take His place. Never will, O God. No way I tried to serve Him because I knew that He was Your servant, Father. But I would pray, Lord, as He prayed, let there not be one sick people, one amongst us. Sweet Spirit of Christ, please come into this building and anoint every heart, every mind, every soul, Lord, that some of us can get healed, Father. Do not, Lord, let the devil keep Your people captive, Father. But there are people here that need healing. They need help. Oh, merciful God in heaven, help them. You've helped me through my trials, sick as I am at times, Lord. You just give me perfect rest and relief as I preach and try to help people, Father. But this might have to be what I have to be, Lord, to offset anything. I don't know. I just know the prophet told us these things could be possible. But Lord, where there's a possibility for people to be healed, especially today, and I think about myself also, my wife and different ones, Brother Cash going down the road, and so many people couldn't come, Lord, there's problems right here today. I pray in the holy name of Jesus Christ, the Son, our Father, just because of Your love to us, and our reaching out this morning, Lord, to believe and consider ourselves a part of that great family, the sweet Spirit of Christ, come upon over in each and every one of us and filling us, that the sick amongst us be healed, O God. Lift up the hearts that are heavy, O God. Help us, Lord, each one to make straight paths for people, to work a little harder for each other, and stand in the place of each other, Lord. And just go ahead in the way You've asked us to go, Father, because we want truth in our mystery. We want all of these things, but we want them coming out of the Word. So, Father, we do not ask anymore. We only rest upon You, and may our faith come back upon us, O God, with what we desire. We ask all these mercies, giving You the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. In the name of Jesus with you.